Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode.
You're listening to The Dental Guys, episode 30. What? Wes? What's wrong with your nose, man? Oh, man, we'll get to that in a minute. In this episode, recorded live at the Voices of Dentistry Conference, we interview Tarun Agarwal, affectionately known as T-Bone.
T-Bone has broken the mold of traditional dentistry and explains why you should stop doing fillings and crowns. Prepare for a disruption in your thinking this week on The Dental Guys.
Welcome to this week's episode of The Dental Guys. I'm John the Dental Guy.
And I'm Wes the Dental Guy.
And before we get into this episode, I mean, you've all been waiting through the intro music, wondering what we're going to talk about next. I mean, if you have access to video right now, you should probably roll this thing back, stop your car, roll this thing back, and just take a look at that. That's kind of a, you got like a Rudolph thing going on, man. Like the profile view is pretty epic. Man. What happened to you? Well,
many of you know that have been listening to Dental Guys for a long time now is that, Wes, the dental guy, is a beekeeper and
ultimate nerd.
It's spring and well, it's not quite spring yet, but it is definitely time to get out, do a little survey of the hive. So this afternoon, headed out to the beehives, and my wife and I were working the hives, and I wear a veil and, you know, the whole getup.
You're supposed to be bee-proof, right?
Yeah, you're supposed to be bee-proof. But that's, you always...
Is that a lie?
It's totally a lie. You know, here's the thing about beekeeping is like, if someone tells you that you're never going to be stung if you wear a suit, that's just hogwash. I mean, you will... I'm stung every year. It's just a matter of...
So wait, that's what happened?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you got stung through your suit.
Through the veil. So what happened was, as I was working the hive and leaning over, and the veil had just barely just touched my nose, and one of my little girls, man, she just landed right there, and she turned her rear end right into my nose and lit it up. And so,
so now you're just like, how long? So all day you've been looking like this, pretty much.
Well, you know, it happened about 2:30 this afternoon.
Okay, so you look, yeah. I mean, that's a lot. Now, will it still look good in the morning for work, or is it gonna be gone?
It'll almost be gone. We'll see. You know, I've been stung before, and generally for me, it's like a 12-hour deal, and it's gone. Now I'll probably take a Benadryl tonight, just to make sure that I'm. Okay, but I mean, at this point...
Hazards, man. That's a workplace hazard.
It is. Beekeeping can be a little bit of a hazard, but it's worth it, man. We have a lot of fun with it.
Well, I know, and I mean, I've tried some of the honey. I will say it is legit. I mean, it's well worth the wait. Yeah. So now next week, man, it's a big week for us.
Oh, man, I'm so excited. How about you, man? We're going to get on a plane, and we're going to the Academy of Osseointegration meeting this year. It's close to Orlando, Florida. And I'm super excited about this year's meeting, John. I mean, we've got some, again, epic speakers.
Yeah.
I think that taking the dental guys on the road is something that we like to do. And yep. And I'm hoping you're listening to this. It's Tuesday, the week of the AO. We'll be getting on a plane tomorrow evening after we finish practicing. And we're going to take the dental guys on the road to the academy meeting this year. And John and I will be doing probably some Facebook Live and posting up some videos. We don't have our team going with us this year, or our wives are not going. It's just going to be John and I geeking out,
man.
No distractions.
No.
John, and who are we going to see this year? I mean, we signed up for our classes and,
there's so much good stuff. We're going to an interesting, small group meeting that's called Zirconia Myths and Realities. And we're going to this thing.
Why are we going Wes to that, John?
Well, it's taught by the head of PROS from where I went to dental school in Connecticut. He is a very opinionated guy, which I like. I mean, he'll tell you what he's thinking. And we're always going back and forth, you and me and Brad, the dental lab guy, about the choices for full arch reconstruction on implants. And zirconia is always thrown around. It's been talked about a lot. I'm very interested to see what he has to say about it as a restorative material, especially for full arch. I think it's going to spark some good conversation. A lot of conversation we've already had, probably, but I think it will add to our understanding. It's always a good controversial topic that we kind of keep coming back to.
Mm-hmm.
But then the main podium is just stacked. They've got a couple of, they got one segment that's all about, I think it says, it's called like 40 years of clinical realities or something like that, where they've got people, including some from the original Brandemark group, they're going to be talking about 40 years of implant treatment, successes and failures, what they've learned. You just can't get that at many meetings outside the AO.
I'm so excited about it. And, you know, do you know this teacher well enough to be able to, you know, go up to him and maybe snag him for a few questions? I mean,
I think so. Now, I don't know if he'll interview, because I don't know. I mean, I know him, and he'll, I don't know if he'll recognize me right away. I'll probably have to like say, hey, it's me. Remember that one guy? Because I talked to him, like I knew him pretty well in school, but you know, he's just such, I don't know. He's one of those guys, he travels, he speaks a lot. So last time I saw him at the AO a few years ago.
Pretty much is what you're saying.
Yeah, the last time I saw him at the AO, he kind of recognized me after I brought my name up.
There are these people though, that I feel like that are untouchable, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
They
kind of are. So he could be this guy.
He may not interview, but we're going to try to see if we can, maybe get some people on there. At the very least, we'll give you guys, you know, if we see some interesting stuff down at the exhibit hall. You know, I think there's some, they always release new products around this time of the year at the AO. So this should be cool.
Yeah, there's going to be some cool stuff there. We've already got a request from one of our listeners to check out some stuff from Straumann. And we're going to be there. And when we're streaming live and you're working or whatever that is, we want to get feedback right now about what you guys want to see. What do you want to see? Like, do you want to see, you know, you want to see us go up to some reps and question them about certain things? Do you want us to try to get some questions answered for you? You can't go, so we're going. And we're excited about it. We're going to dive in and geek out for 3 or 4 days, and we'll return to you. And the next episode that we'll release will be a recap
of the AO.
And actually, I think we'll release this like a week after it's over.
Yeah. That's our second annual recap. I mean, this is becoming kind of a deal on our show where we do this every year, and we had some good feedback from it last time.
Episode 38, I believe it'll be, John. Recap of the AO. So I'm excited about that for you guys that are listening. But John,
now on this week though, I mean, we've got some pretty awesome stuff for you guys.
Like, there are conversations that you and I are going to have for a long time.
Yes.
Even my wife is talking about this particular podcast. It was mind-blowing. It was game changer. It will be something that I will remember for the rest of my life. The first interview with T-Bone, Dr. Agarwal. If you're getting ready to listen to this, it's going to be a long one, but it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, I think it'll be worth your time. I mean, he really challenged us on a lot of things, things that we kind of knew he would say.
Right.
And then, and we hope to get him to talk about. And then things he said were completely unexpected. And that's kind of how he rolls for anybody that's not listening
before.
Yeah, but
I like that about him. That's one thing that he did. And I told you this when we got finished there, is that I feel like that he responds how I want him to respond. You know, yeah.
He's telling you the truth.
It's telling you the truth. And that's what we're about here on The Dental Guys, is talking truth. And and spread,
not being afraid not to being tell afraid you what we think and right. try to back it up.
Let's dive into this episode, and I'm excited for the dental guys to be able to have Dr. Tarun Agarwal to join us, and we thank him so much for the time that he spent with us, and hopefully we'll have him on again.
Yeah. So without further ado, here it is, our interview with T-Bone Tarun Agarwal.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family, T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode.
Well, this is Wes, the dental guy, and it's good to have Tarun Agarwal with us, and many of you know him as T-Bone, and he has a dental podcast and many things, really. And I guess the first time John and I probably knew about T-Bone was from Dental Town.
Yeah.
How long were you? I mean, like,
I've so been I joined of, Dental Town in 1999, 2000.
Okay.
Man. Yeah. As a subscriber. Yeah. I mean, it was like we're probably one of the first 100 people on.
Right.
And then we started, Samir and I started the meeting for them, and 2002.
Right.
And
right.
we ran that till 2012.
Right. Yeah.
So it was a lot of fun.
Super.
Yeah. And, you know,
good times.
And that has given way to, you know, speaking at the meetings, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. You've had a lot of that over the years on different topics, and we've kind of followed that. And, you know, that really maybe leads us right into what one of the things we want to talk to you about. And you've probably been asked this question 5,000 times, because right. we see the you know, the topic of the townie meeting, and it's, you know, stop doing fillings and crowns, right?
Yeah.
So what happened to your practice over the years that you kind of felt like it was time to start making that kind of change?
Why are you an ambassador for this?
Well, so, you know, the truth is I haven't got there completely yet, okay? But you have to set wild, crazy goals. You have to be ambitious to even achieve 90% or 80% of it, okay? So my goal, I know I've said in the past that my goal for 2017 was not to do any fillings whatsoever. No, truthfully, that's almost impossible, because if I'm doing a quadrant of crowns, let's say, and there's a filling that needs to be done, you're going to have to do it, right? So the real goal is actually to have only one day, one patient per day that contains fillings for me.
Okay.
And my thing with fillings is not that they're bad or not fun to do. I mean, they're kind of mundane and boring, but is that they're low productivity. And so for me, I want to raise my bar to a point where I'm not doing anything that's low productivity. And the other side of it is it's also something that is totally dentist dependent. In other words, you know, and I can't imagine there's any state that doesn't require the dentist to prep the tooth and all of that. So even if you have an EFTA and they can do the filling, you still have to go in there and do the prep and all of that. And quite honestly, most dentists are control freaks by nature. So I can't imagine that they really want to turn over the filling of the restoration.
Right.
So
will that ever work? I mean,
what, not doing any fillings?
Well, I mean, I'm saying
turning it over to EFTAs, because,
like,
you know, that's
like even the prep.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, well, or even just film. I mean, what do you think about it? You think about EFTA's doing composites, you know?
Sure.
You good with it?
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I think anybody can be trained to do it. I think, look, and I'm not trying to say, look, some people are going to take this the wrong way, but I think at the end of the day, if you're a dentist that only does restorative dentistry, you're a mechanic.
Mm.
And I don't think you need all the education that we've gone through. I don't think you need the grades that we've had to achieve to even get into dental school.
So there's a difference what you're saying between a doctor and a technician, and you want to be the doctor.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I at the end of the day, I think if you're doing fillings and crowns, you're a mechanic, okay? You're finding holes, you're filling it.
So is this mentality, though, driven by, like, the idea that, you know, there's some people out here that say that we're diluting our profession?
Diluting or diluting?
Diluting. Okay. Yeah. So basically,
that's
you're
already happened and started. So what are you going to do about it?
Well, I know, but that's the thing is that we you know, I don't.
Well, and a lot of it's just commoditizing. You know, that's one of the ideas
but
is that it already is there.
Yeah,
it's already
so
there.
So what are we supposed to do? Not embrace it.
Well, but what you're doing is you're saying, well, okay, it is a commodity. You've kind of embraced it. And you said so. I'm going to move past that.
Look, 80% of what we do is a commodity. Okay, there are those of us that can build a practice based on our personality, based on our brand, based on specific skill sets that we have. But generally speaking, a dentist is a dentist is a dentist, and whether we believe that or not as a profession is irrelevant. In the consumer's mind, that's what they believe.
Yeah.
You know, and insurance has been part of that. Well, I don't know if it's McDonald's necessarily. We held in higher esteem than that, at least.
Sure.
Okay. But at the end of the day, insurance has made it that you want to go to a network provider because we vetted the network providers and we know the vetting is a signature. Okay.
Right.
It is.
So we've allowed ourselves to dumb down our profession to that degree, and we've allowed ourselves to create a situation where we're not getting reimbursement at the level that we need to for the time and expertise that we have. And that's my challenge with people for fillings. At the end of the day, you know, if dentists were to be honest, if I were to be honest with you, John, and say, do you like doing fillings?
I mean, it's not my favorite thing.
Okay, so then why the hell do you do it?
I guess you do it because it's part of bringing it's a part of the comprehensive dentistry.
Okay, great. What people misunderstand about what I'm saying is I'm not saying get rid of it out of your practice. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying you stop doing it.
But honestly, though, he's exactly right. Is like when I sit down and I see, and you know this, is that what I'm passionate about is implant dentistry.
Sure.
I love to place dental implants, but I also love to do crowns.
Right.
Like I would rather do a crown than do a filling.
Yeah. I will tell you that crowns are limiting too. But let's get to the crowns next.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
But because you have to everything.
But I would
rather walk, run,
right.
Correct?
Exactly, right.
Right.
So your
idea is that you're saying, you know, not that they're bad, not that we shouldn't be doing, but that you yourself.
I did say you shouldn't be doing them.
Well, right, but okay. you would like someone else to be doing
yes,
them
I'm
in
not
your practice.
So what people, listen, I want to make the distinction between a practice and a business. Okay. Now, business is a dirty word in so many people's minds. Okay. Mm-hmm. But a practice is something that provides a living for me. Okay. In other words, I want to make 150, 200 grand, whatever the number may be. I want to live a good life. I want to be an unbelievable family man. I want to drop my kids to school. I want to pick my kids up from school. I want to work 4 days a week and boom.
Yeah.
That's the life I want to live. Have a practice.
Yeah.
Okay. But I think there's much greater things out there for all of us. And I say you should suggest you having a business. And what happens in a business is that you expand your range of services so that you can capture a greater market. You want to bring in auxiliary providers, meaning another dentist, whether it's a partner or an associate or whatever it may be. So you can have that person slowly do those things that are now that you can let go of.
Yes.
And so that your practice can still be a business.
Right.
And see, ultimately what happens is if people really follow through this, the concept of what I'm trying to get at is they'll realize that they can have more time off.
Yeah.
Because if I asked you, how much time do you take off?
How much time per year?
Yeah.
3 to 4 weeks.
Is that enough?
You always want more.
Okay. So why don't you take more?
Good question.
Okay, but no, in all seriousness,
why don't you take more? Well, because you have a certain amount of production that you have as a goal.
Okay, so fillings are keeping you from doing that production.
Good point, right. So you're saying I'm going to change that game.
I'm saying that you need to change that game.
Yeah.
At least, how about this? I want to appeal to those people that find my message appealing.
Sure.
You know, if you're happy doing fillings and making 150 grand a year, whatever the number is.
You're not going to change that person.
Right.
I don't want to change that person.
You're looking for the people who feel that.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that either.
Right, right, right.
But if somebody can be that true to themselves, that they say, you know what? This is the life I want. I live a good life. You live better than 90% of the people in the world, 95% sure. of the people in the world, 90% of the people in this country. Why would I want to change you?
Right.
But if you see something greater for yourself,
yes,
then, you know, and it really boils down to having a tough session with yourself of really figuring out what motivates you. So I'll ask you, Wes, how much time do you take off?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hello, podcast family. T-Bone here, bringing you our newest live patient implant training, Full Arch Express. For dentists already placing implants and ready to level up and continue building their implant practice, this is the golden ticket. We're diving deep into full arch implants, the hottest game changer in implant dentistry. In this program, we tackle both overdentures and all-on-X fixed hybrids, mastering techniques that are essential for modern, comprehensive dental care. It's about getting your hands on the tools and techniques that will replace the doubt and fear with confidence and predictability. Here's the kicker. There's live patient training right here in North Carolina. You're not just learning theories. You're in the operatory doing real work on real patient from start to finish, guided one-on-one by our expert 3D mentors. You'll learn the nuances of each approach, ensuring you can cater to a wide range of patients to maximize revenue. Speaking of revenue, with me, you know it's not just about the clinical skills. We're bringing business into this aspect too, teaching you how to integrate these advanced services profitably into your practice. So are you ready to rise up to the top in implant dentistry? Join us at the Full Arch Express. This isn't just another course. It's a career-defining leap. Head to www.3ddentist.com to enroll in our next session. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now, back to this week's episode.
I would say, I'm looking back at my wife there, I would say probably 4 weeks at least, yeah.
Is that true? Four? Do you have, how many?
Not
do
counting
you
t- Fridays, though. I mean, we can't.
Yeah. No, you can't count Fridays.
Yeah, right. So,
because that,
yeah,
okay.
4 weeks.
4 weeks, okay. Yeah. So what's the most consecutive weeks you take off?
Two at Christmas time.
Two at Christmas time. Why don't you take 3 weeks off in a row? What's your wife's name?
Laurie,
would you like him to take 3 weeks off? Yeah. Okay, what prevents you from taking 3 weeks off in a row? I see it in your eyes.
Probably production.
Fear.
Yeah,
fear. No, but don't say,
exactly.
It's not
I'm
production,
afraid.
It's fear.
It's true.
Okay?
Yeah.
So because at the end of the day, but it's more than just the fear. Now let's dive down. So this is what I'm trying to get people to do, okay?
Okay.
So let's dive down to what's keeping you. Would you like to take 3 weeks off? Because your wife would.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Okay, do you have kids?
Yes.
How many do you have?
Two.
Yeah. What are the ages?
11 and 7.
Okay, so your kids are like my kids are 7, 9, and 11.
Right.
I only hesitate because they were 6, 8, and 10 for so long. It's so easy for me to say it, okay?
Right,
in the last month, they've all gone from 6, 8, 10 to 7, 9, 11.
Right.
Okay, so now I should just give it to the 9 and say 7, 11. We'll be the perfect Indian
perfect.
Family because we all own India 7, 11s.
Awesome.
Okay, so your kids are young, okay?
Right.
So the truth is, look, you will, if you talk to anybody that is older than us, okay, or has kids older than us, okay, they will tell you they grew up like that, right?
Yes.
Get the time that you can with them.
Right.
So your wife would like to take 3 weeks off in a row. Your kids would like you to take 3 weeks off in a row. So why don't you? Mm-hmm. So what are the reasons that... Now we're going to answer the question now, okay? I'm going to put you guys on the spot. So what are the reasons you don't do it? What are your fears?
Well, fear of... I guess, really, it would hurt my practice because I'm a single doc practitioner.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So why don't you bring somebody in?
Well, you know, you and I've talked about that. It's like, how do you get to that point?
Get rid of fillings and crowns and let them do them all. And focus, free your time up to be able to focus on those things that bring you joy and those things that bring you the production that you've had. Because at the end of the day, the real fear is we're afraid of losing that production, correct?
Right.
And fillings and crowns at the end of the day produce X amount
of
production.
Well, that's the thing is like that in our mind, I think, is our bread and butter is fillings and crowns.
And it is.
But
okay, it is.
But I feel like too, like, you know, whenever you walk in the operatory and it only takes 10 minutes to place a dental implant, and that's $2,000 versus...
No, it's not $2,000. It's $3,500.
Well, that's true. Well, then just talking about the surgical, but the time you restore it, it's...
But you're a general dentist, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
So you have both ends of it.
Yeah, $4,500.
So the implant is not... How often do you... No. So this is the other thing that drives me nuts. How often do you place an implant and not restore it?
Never.
So the implant procedure, the tooth replacement procedure,
right,
is $3,500 or whatever the number is. It's not $2,000.
Right, right.
Okay, because in fact, I would say you're more profitable, hopefully, on the back end of that
than on the front end of it. Like 5 minutes in the
overhead
room
is
that.
Much less.
Right.
Yeah.
So even time-wise and even all right,
so
to restore
very,
it.
Very
okay?
profitable.
Okay, yeah. So do me a favor, and when you say an implant is $2,000, that's not true. As a general dentist, the implant procedure is $3,500, whatever your fee is, to include restoring it.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So why don't you do more implants?
Man, I'd love it.
Well, why don't you?
I guess I don't have enough time to do more implants.
Because you're busy doing?
Busy doing crowns and fillings.
Okay. Yeah, and do they pay nearly as well?
No, okay. They don't.
All right, so
right.
I mean, it's logical when people. What happens is they get this whole thing in your head that I've lost my mind, and I have. I'm certifiably crazy. A board certified psychiatrist has told me I'm crazy. I sleep with her every night. Okay, well, most nights. Okay, not every night she can handle me. Okay, not I mean, my snoring is what I'm talking about. Okay, but what I just want people to see that dentistry can be so much more. It can be whatever you want it to be. Okay, and what I hear from you is that you want to do something different, but your mindset is stuck in doing fillings and crowns.
What I'm hearing is it's kind of like the medical model is what you're embracing. Is you're saying you bring in the nurse practitioner. That's kind of the same idea.
It's a dentist, though.
Right. But you're saying, though.
I'm not saying you bring in a denturist.
No, I know, but you're
like
saying you're delegating to an associate dentist, for instance, can do these procedures.
Yeah.
And you bring them in. You allow them to do the most they can do at
the
beginning.
And hopefully they can replace themselves, too.
Right, exactly.
In other words, they can graduate. Because hopefully what will happen is, in my perfect model, which I haven't achieved yet, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, because some reason I can't keep associates in my practice. But that's a different problem, okay? But I shouldn't say I can't keep them. I keep finding, I don't want to say anything like that, okay? So it's a two-way street. Okay, so in the model is you like doing what? Single unit implants get your boat?
Yeah, I like that. Okay, I like hybrids too.
Okay, great. Yeah. So would you rather do hybrids or single unit implants?
Man, that's a tough call. I love single units.
But there's going to come a time where you don't like single units anymore.
But I like the challenge of a hybrid.
Okay, great. Right, you see. So what's going to happen is what I want you to do is set a goal that 5 years from now, you only do hybrids.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Okay? That's your big goal.
Well, whatever your
and
goal
you
is,
figure
right?
out how
but
you're
your goal is
going
to change, right? Because at the end of the day, what it really boils down to is, and I don't want to put either of you on the spot, but I'm going to because
no,
that's just what
you
I do.
That's good.
Okay?
That's good.
So what's your nut every month that you personally have to produce? $50,000, $60,000?
No. I strive for about 70 to 80.
70 personally?
Yes.
Okay, 70 to 80. Yeah. So basically you need to do 2 hybrid cases a month. 3 hybrid cases a month.
Yeah. That's the good
okay,
times.
Okay, so then why the hell are you doing fillings and crowns?
Yeah.
Okay,
I mean, because that's a great question, but I feel like
so we got to work backwards,
right?
Okay?
So how do you get there? Is the thing
step
is
by
like,
step,
right?
So marketing and driving
sure,
patients
but that's
to practice.
But you're saying the first thing is just delegate the fillings and crowns,
yes,
and then start freeing the time up, doing good treatment planning,
yes,
and driving marketing,
yes,
and that's what you're
because
trying to build.
That's what got you to a point where you could even do those things. Is your brain
right.
correct?
Right.
So when you're
right.
doing fillings and crowns, I hate to tell you, you're not using your brain.
Mm.
Okay, it is mundane, like repeatable, stupid dentistry. Okay?
It is right. It's monotonous.
Sure. It's monotonous. Okay,
right.
So my question is use your skills in a way to grow your practice to become a business. Okay?
Sure.
So now part of this also comes back to my other message, which I failed on in the first 5 years, 6 years of my career, is that the challenge is when you make that transition, you're going to take a dip.
Mm.
Okay,
I think that's the fear.
But you need
that
to be prepared for that dip,
yeah,
right?
But you're not prepared for that dip.
No, I'm not.
Okay, so here's my other passion is I want everybody to have a personal and professional savings plan.
Mm. Okay? I agree. Yeah.
So ultimately, the way I look at that, and we're going to go all over the place.
Your financial, there was a guy that you have had on your podcast mm-hmm. several times, and I'll never forget you saying about like how you've handled your purchasing and mistakes you've made.
Yeah.
That's me, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'm you.
I made them all, right?
Yeah.
But so ultimately what I did, the best thing I did is and so I graduated when I was 23, started my practice at 24. I didn't save a penny until I was 32.
Mm.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So the first 6 to 8 years I did stupid shit, okay?
Do
you guys curse on your thing? You'll
bleep we'll bleep that
it's
out.
Not
okay.
A big
yeah, it's not
all
a
right,
big
whatever.
Deal.
It's my normal language, okay? I want to be respectful.
Yeah,
okay?
No, we're good.
So, you know, I didn't save at all, and I had the ability to save. I made dumb decisions, okay? So what I try to tell everybody coming out of school is you need to make your savings plan a bill. Okay, so it needs to be a mortgage. Like in your life, you have bills, correct? Right, you have a mortgage, maybe you have student loan payments, whatever it is. Those get taken off the top end before you even see any money, correct?
Right. You don't even account that. You don't have that. Yeah.
So I have a savings plan, and I'll share numbers, okay, because I'm an open book. So when I started, my number was $1,000 a month. Okay, because I had never done anything like that before. Right. And I started saving $1,000 a month, and I didn't even know it was gone.
Right.
Okay. Then it went to $2,000 a month.
Right.
Then it went to $3,000 a month, $4,000 a month. Okay. And it wasn't like it went there in 5 months. It went to a period I did, you know, so I started a little bit late. So I was making good money at the time. Okay. So I went from 1,000 to 2,000 and a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then I went from 2,000 to 5,000 by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I never noticed it. My lifestyle never changed.
Yeah.
Right.
One bit whatsoever. But I started noticing that occasionally I'd check my nest egg, I call it the FU fund.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because ultimately that's what it is. It's my ability to say, I don't have to do this anymore.
Sure.
I want to. I want to practice till forever.
Right.
Okay. If I won the lottery tomorrow, I would open a free clinic and do nonprofit dentistry.
Yeah,
okay.
I love what I do.
Yeah.
But I want that FU ability to be able to say, you know, I don't have to do this.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Or I want that ability to say, you know what? Like right now I toy with the idea of opening a nonprofit clinic.
Okay.
Yeah. And I want to be able to do that. And the reason I say I can do that is, you know what? Because you know what? If something happened and that I sold my practice and I failed, I say, you know what? I've saved enough. I'll get enough in the sale of my practice that it doesn't matter.
You can do that.
Right. I won't live like I'm living now.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
But I can make it work.
You can do that.
I won't be a pauper. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I won't be a burden to my family.
Yep.
How about that? Okay. So ultimately I've created that number every month and it just comes out of my, it just comes out.
Right.
It just automatically withdrawn from my bank. I never see it. I never notice it.
Mm-hmm. And so when you have that dip, like you talked about,
I've got a rainy day fund.
Yeah, you got that.
You've got a rainy day fund. And I do that for my practice too. Okay. So the other thing I do for my practice is I keep 2 months of production.
Right.
Okay. 2 months of collections in a rainy day fund for my practice.
Right.
It's a lot.
Okay.
It's more than most people, I think.
But no, most people don't have half a month.
Well, I know, but if you talk to a good CPA, they would say a month is about what a lot of them recommend.
If you get injured for a month?
Right, man. Your disability's not kicked in probably yet. So
most of us have disability plans that kick in after 60 to 90 days.
Exactly.
Right.
So you've got one month and then you're having to front that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're toast, right?
Right. You're dipping into the rainy day fund.
So ultimately, now at the end of the day, if you do both ends, if you do practice and personal side, you know, if worst case scenario, let's say you only have a month of practice, mm-hmm. you can go to the personal to fund this, right?
Sure.
Okay. So it's two ways, right? But I like to keep 2 months of collections in a rainy day fund so I can do what I call stupid ideas.
Mm.
So I can take risks with my practice. Okay, so that when I wasn't ready for the associate, because I think people bring in associates at too late of a point,
mm-hmm.
okay? And I think to a certain degree, the mistakes I made is I brought them in 1 day at a time, 2 days at a time, 3 days at a time, and I should have just gone full bore with it from the beginning.
Mm.
Okay, because then what team senses or what you sense is you're not fully committed, right?
Yeah.
So when you jump off the cliff, you find a way to swim, right?
True. Mm-hmm.
Or die.
One or the other.
Depends on this pool at the end, right? There's water at the bottom of the cliff. But so you need to save 2 months of your practice collections. And see, the problem with people do it is as their practice grows, they forget to put that money aside. Okay, so for example, in the motel business, we keep 10% of our annual collections in our update fund.
Mm.
Okay, because the franchises require us to update TVs, mattresses, all this stuff, right? And you don't want to get, and when you're talking about, you know, a 200 room hotel, you don't want to suddenly have to buy 200 TVs, 200 mattresses, 200, you know, furniture sets. You don't want that $500,000 bill. Like that, right?
Right.
So you have to budget it out as an expense.
Yeah. Right.
So the same thing needs to happen in your personal and professional life.
Gotcha. Okay. And so that way, when you get to the point where you say it's time to delegate, and you know for a little while you're just gonna be working on building that in your schedule, you're gonna be low production wise, but you're
lower,
right?
Okay,
lower,
not low,
right?
But lower,
because you still got an associate that's turning it out, producing,
but you're not as a
person. So you're going to take a small cut,
right? And you're going to be happier.
And, and by the way, I believe that all owners should pay themselves as associates. Mm. I think you should pay yourself 30% of what you collect. as an associate, and then you should take a dividend check as an owner for in your case, 100% of what's left over.
Gotcha.
Okay?
Gotcha.
So because what happens then is you can divide yourself into, hey, I'm making this as a dentist. I'm making this as an entrepreneur. Mm. And if you were to go away for a month, and let's say you were able to stick somebody else, your evil twin in mm-hmm. for a month, you would know that, hey, listen, I'm going to lose or make X down as a business owner, but I'm still going to be able to pay this yeah. person 30%.
So it shows you the value of being a business owner yes. versus just being an associate.
If
yeah.
there's even like if there's even
if
a,
there's
value,
a value, right? Because some people are literally better off as an associate.
Absolutely, and I
business.
Think that's ultimately some people have to make that tough decision. Sometimes is yeah. they have to take a again. So ultimately, people say about goal setting. And I'm not the best at goal setting, but I'm just less worse than most people, okay, mm-hmm. is I think you got to work backwards. You got to dive deep into what the real cause is for all of these things.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, too, like, you know, I look at some people and they were never meant to own a business.
Right.
And that's fine.
From a personality standpoint.
There's a difference in a business and a practice.
Right.
That's true.
You're right. Okay. You're right. Yes. But the business, I think, is the concern is that, you know, their personality, well, there are certain personalities that are just not cut out for that, and that's okay. And you're looking for those people, it sounds like.
Well,
is that right?
Dude, DSO dentistry is built on those
right,
people.
Right, right, right.
I mean, they will be 30 to 40, 50% of the dental marketplace in the next 10 years.
Right. They're building people directly for what it sounds like you'd like, though. I mean, you want those guys. You want the guys to come in and say, I'm cool with that. I want to make 150 grand.
We can't have all chiefs.
Right? I got you.
The tribe can't be yeah. all chiefs. Yeah. a kitchen can't be all chefs, yeah. right? You got to have cooks too, right?
Right, absolutely. Right. So you need that kind of person who comes into your, if you have that business model and you say, I want somebody who's doing fillings and crowns and that can be cool with that and that can maybe learn some stuff.
Yes.
But on the other hand, they're okay with the fact that it's a learning process and that's what they're here to do.
As long as, we can get into the whole associate mentality in a second. But beyond that, I think we can change the course of dentistry if we can get 5,000 people a year to adopt the philosophy of hiring an associate.
Hmm.
Wow. Okay. Hmm. And here's why I say that.
So we graduate
5,000 people a year. Mm-hmm. North of 60% of them go join DSO practices. Not that there's anything wrong with that, okay?
Right.
That's a business model that works. I'm a capitalist at heart, okay? So I believe
it's market driven.
Listen, if our owner dentists are too stupid to figure out what drives what the void was there, okay, and somebody else is smart enough and money enough, have enough money to fill that void, shame on us.
It's true. It's okay? Nobody's fault but ours.
Okay?
Yeah, it's completely ours.
It's our own fault, okay?
Yeah,
and
completely
I, unfortunately,
agree.
Organized dentistry like the ADA and all these groups do nothing because they're run by old farts that have no earthly idea.
Well, and they got people on the boards of some of these companies
that's politics, okay?
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, our leadership is old people that left practice in the 80s and 90s.
Yep.
And my other saying is we practice in 2017 today, but our business philosophies and practice principles are guided by 1980s dentistry.
That's exactly right.
And
that's exactly right.
So you do things the way your dental school teacher taught you, who last practiced in 1980 probably, okay? And so at the end of the day, it's a different world. It's a different market. You know, the other thing I try to tell a dentist to help them understand is, you guys are young, so you may not understand this, but if do any of your parents practice dentistry?
Mm-hmm, my dad did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did your dad ever spend any $15,000 on any piece of equipment in his practice?
Never.
What can you buy today for less than $15,000?
Nothing.
Okay, so you tell me how your dad's business principles even remotely apply to today.
It was an amazing, tough transition,
because
it wasn't even close. It wasn't even close.
So our dentists and our mindsets and even education is guided by these gurus who have never owned or operated a practice in the last 10, 15, 20 years. Even in dentistry, it's changed in 10 years. I mean, 10 years ago, like a digital pan was cool.
Right, right.
I mean, today, like a digital pan is like substandard dentistry.
Exactly.
Okay, I mean, you could go from a $30,000 pan, now you got to spend north of 100 grand to even be in the ballgame.
Right.
And so I think, unfortunately, we're being misled and we're being misadvised by, we're allowing it to happen.
But you're saying, again, that if docs could learn the value of an associate and set these types, whether it's exactly like your setup or it's just the idea of a mentorship situation, then now you're advancing that we are doctors, we're professionals. That's what's going to bring you would say is going to bring dentistry to where it should be rather than bringing it to a lower common denominator. Is that what you're saying?
I don't care about that part of it.
Okay.
I don't care about the. See, look, I don't worry myself with what our profession feels our denominator is. Our profession is going to do what it does. I'm only worried about myself. Okay, and those I can help and touch. Yeah, yeah, but then that's all okay. I can worry about, right? So, but I want to go back to your point.
But okay? You said, though, that you feel like this could help dentistry.
It can, yeah. If dentistry wants it.
Right. But if it doesn't, the main thing, you're going, hey, I'm going to do it. I know what I got to do.
I only care about myself.
Mm-hmm. You can't change everything, is what you're saying.
I do care about others, okay? But at the end of the day, I can only control what I do, right?
Yeah.
I can't control what you guys are going to do when you get back, okay? But my hope is that I can create a disruption, not change, mm-hmm. okay, disruption in your thinking to open your mind to broader horizons.
Sure.
Okay. So, but see, one of the things I'm hearing from you is that I have a specific, I don't want to say methodology to it because it's not, but ultimately what happens is you've gone to CE events, right?
Of course.
So have you gone to I break down CE events into like there's what this is this weekend.
Yeah.
It's fun. You don't really, I'm not saying you don't learn anything, but you don't learn
no,
anything.
No,
okay.
No. Right.
Because
right.
Everybody, like I'm given 50 minutes to talk. I mean, there's only so much I can talk about
sure.
in 50 minutes, right?
Sure.
So I can't really get you to get buy-in, but I can get you exposure.
Right.
Okay. I can get you exposed to an idea. And then the next step is workshops and things like that.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So, you know, so CE events are like that. So when you go to workshops, what's your biggest complaint when you get back?
Biggest complaint after getting back?
Yeah, it's usually implementation.
Yeah,
you have to implement it.
So now really dive into why that's happening. What happens when you get to the office Monday morning?
You got to do fillings and crowns.
But beyond that, you just got to go to work.
Yeah,
right?
You got
to
make
money.
Right.
So my question to you is, if you're going to go to a workshop mm-hmm. that you believe you felt was important enough for you to fork out thousands of dollars,
yep. right,
time
right.
away from your family, get on an airplane,
right.
do
yeah.
all those things that we, you know, people like me ask you guys to do
right.
at the end of the day, then let me ask you this. Why are you not scheduling Monday morning off as a team meeting?
And that's been something that we've done.
We've talked about doing that, and I've been doing the spear continuum as an example.
Right.
And yeah, that's what the first time I went out there.
Why aren't you taking the team with you?
Well, that's what we got to do. And they have a team program now.
And still, you got to have huddles at night.
Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah, you got to make sure that it's actually.
How are we going to do this?
Yeah.
Right.
What's our action plan?
You got to have buy-in from your team.
We're doing that now. We're setting a day out after we come back, and we're going, okay, here's what we learned. Let's. But a day's not even really enough. I mean,
you know, but you got to do it in chunks and stuff, right? Because you got to still be mindful of production, correct?
Right.
So those are part of that, and then see the other thing is along with that is now how do you implement when your team is so focused on, you know, your schedule so full of fillings and crowns and stuff mm-hmm. like this that are non-productive, like it hit me in the head. I've had it hit me in the head twice. Okay, once when I first brought my associate on straight out of school, like literally straight out of school. Okay, my very first associate I got 3, 4, 5 years ago. Okay, straight out of school. I looked at his production. He got paid the same for the crown that I got paid for, the crown. And I'm 16 years in, and I do it in half the time. I mean, one-third the time. And I'm saying to myself, why in the hell does this guy get paid $700 for the crown that I get paid $700 for the crown? Why is that?
So what'd you do about that?
I said, I don't want to do them anymore. That's when I said,
That's when I said
insurance has commoditized us to a point that, in my opinion, there's no return. Okay, so it's a part of our practice. So I said, you know what? I got to do something that produces more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I said after 15 years, I get paid the same as if I was day one out.
Okay.
So what are the things?
Does that make sense? What I'm saying?
Yeah, I got sense.
I mean, you're what, like 6 years out of school, 7 years out of school?
12.
12 years out of school? Shit. Okay, you look young.
Yes.
Yes.
So nice. So you're 12 years out of school, you get paid today the same as somebody that would join your practice one day out. Because you take insurance, I assume, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So MetLife, Delta Dental, whoever it is, whatever bastard company you want to name,
they
would pay you the same as they would pay the day guy
that's exactly
came out
right.
of school. Okay?
Yeah, they get right. the same reimbursement as
that. So you tell me, how have you failed yourself that you're doing something 15, 12 years later that's the same as somebody that gets paid one day out of school?
Well, what other, I mean, you think about, again, coming back to the medical model, it's no different with them. They don't get paid more to do a bypass surgery.
Just because everybody else is idiots, they get paid less today.
Well, I know.
Just
but less.
So the Titanic's going down and you can get on the lifeboat, you're going to go down with
the
Titanic?
No, I'm just saying that, like, you're saying, well, how do you measure that? You can't measure that. You can't say, well, you because you did 15 years in, there's guys 15 years out that suck. And there's a guy 1 year out that's awesome. So you can't necessarily say that always you should be paid more just because you've been out a long time. You're just saying that your value for your service is more because you believe in your service. And sure. that's a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad
whatever
thing.
Whatever it is. I mean, I would assume that your life cost you more today than it did 12 years ago.
Almost definitely.
Sure, of course.
Okay, so how have you made more money?
Raise my fees.
But your insurance, raising fees is artificial. Okay.
Well, we're not straight insurance
practices. You guys work together?
No.
So like for my practice, I'm only an in-network provider for Delta Dental.
Yeah.
Okay. And the rest of it is out of network.
So what percentage is Delta Dental of your practice?
Maybe 15%, I think.
15-20%,
yeah. Okay. 25% reimbursement from insurance. Like my entire collections is 25% of insurance.
So you guys are unusual because I'm 80% reimbursed by insurance companies, okay?
Yeah,
so,
I'm 30% like cash.
Well, actually, yeah, so but nonetheless, if you're an insurance provider, your fee raising, it's artificial.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay,
that's
it's artificial.
It's just for you.
You
feel a little
better. It's your UCR, okay? But at the end of the day, your fees. Now, but the other answer I'm trying to get out of you is you see more patients.
Right. Okay. And you do more productive procedures, of course.
But you're not doing more productive procedures. You're doing fillings and crowns.
Well, but he's been doing, and I have been doing, more implant dentistry, more cosmetic dentistry.
Sure, cosmetic dentistry is fillings and crowns. It requires you.
Well, that's true. That's true. Okay. But if you're talking about doing, reconstructive dentistry.
I'm not talking about that at all.
Well, but you do more of that compared to when you started off.
That's just multiple fillings and crowns in a row.
But is it more productive or more?
No, I tell you what, if you
do 10 crowns in a 3-hour visit versus doing 2 crowns, though, if you can do more, if you can do a big case, you're doing more big cases, your overhead's lower.
Have you ever sat down and put in time how much time you spend on a big case?
How much time you spend over, like, to all together?
Yeah.
You do have to. That's what we were challenged to. Yeah, yeah,
okay,
we were challenged to do that.
Let's walk through this, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
So I can do a root canal crown in an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even have to, my patient doesn't even ask me questions. Okay, I turn the TV on, I put the rubber dam on, I work for an hour and a half, and they leave.
Yep.
Okay, I make $2,000.
Yep.
General production, okay? Now, your 10-unit case is going to bring you how much?
$15,000? Say $15,000.
Okay, let's say $15,000. So that is 1/7 of my root canal crown, okay? So I have to do 7 root canal crowns. So I have to see 7 patients, okay? So your 10-unit case, you're going to do a consultation, correct? You're going to probably do a second consultation with the patient because I'm assuming the patient's not going to come in and buy right away. So then you're going to sit down and do your treatment planning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then you're going to do the lab communication for your wax up.
Right.
Okay, then you're going to sit down and prep the teeth.
Right.
You're going to make your temporaries. You're going to communicate with your lab again on how what you want your restorations to look like. Okay, then you're going to check the lab case when it comes back. Okay, and then you're going to seat and deliver everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, look how many visits and time and mental anguish you have in that procedure. Okay, and I'm not saying it's not a profitable procedure. I'm not saying it's not something to strive for. Okay, but what I'm saying is even that...
Mm-hmm.
is not the best use of your time.
Per hour, you're still not making what you're making.
It's less stressful than doing 7 patients.
Right.
Okay, in a sense.
Right.
Okay, for many people it is. Okay. But what I'm saying is that's still not the best use of your time.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha. I'm with you. Okay. You still make more per hour.
There's so much planning and non-production effort that we put no time on because you take time away from your family to do that. You do it early in the morning, you do it at lunch, you do it after work.
And that's why you got guys that are saying we should do lab fee plus hourly,
sure.
Rather than that, because that's the only other way to handle that if you want to.
Okay, so what are you going to do, raise your hourly every year?
Good point. Yeah,
that is a good point.
At what point, how are you going to, see, my question is where is your ceiling?
Mm-hmm.
There is a ceiling.
Yeah, there's a definite ceiling.
Okay, so now let's go, now ask me the question, so what is my suggestion for people?
Yeah, okay. So where do you go, and I know it's different for everybody, probably depending on what you love,
but learn to love someone. It's like getting married in the Indian times. You will learn to love your wife. We picked a good one for you. So implants are a good one.
Yeah.
Okay. So implants for me, I have about an hour and 15 minutes for an implant start to finish restored single unit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Chair time and everything in. Okay. So that becomes profitable to me at about $2,000 an hour.
Okay.
Per implant. Okay.
That's about right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
for healed root surgery, even grafted surgery, it's still.
It doesn't matter. Grafting adds 5 minutes.
Yeah, right. It's not a big deal.
Okay. So as a CEREC owner, okay, so my costs are, I can plan, place, and restore an implant in material costs of less than $600. Guided, using a name brand implant.
Seems good.
Okay, so, and then it's a $3,500 fee procedure, okay, and I've got an hour and 15 minutes of chair time in it, okay? So now I'm at $2,000 an hour. Okay. So my goal should be, I need to do more of those.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I can do more of those by not having being focused on doing two hygiene checks every hour and doing a filling every hour and doing a crown every hour. So I can mentally think about what is it going to take. I can go out to the community because there are dentists all around you. Look at Justin Moody, for example. Mm-hmm. He literally is a general dentist, built his entire business on referral-based dentists.
Right.
So there are dentists around you that would just love to have somebody do their work for them.
So basically, in that lull time where you're switching from fillings and crowns to doing the things you,
you
love,
to build your business.
You're building your business.
Yeah.
Just like you, networking.
Just like you did when you started your practice.
Sure.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's
so
not hard.
And the next step beyond that would be like, let's take a look at sleep apnea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So sleep apnea is another thing that's already in your practice. Okay.
Right.
Now here's the challenge for me. Here's my mindset changed a year and a half to 2 years ago on sleep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because implant dentistry still requires what? Who can do it?
The doctor.
Yeah, you have to be there and you have to do it.
Right.
Correct?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Still all your time.
That's exactly right.
Okay. So there's a rate limiting step there.
Mm-hmm. It's labor.
It's labor. At the end of the day, you're a mule.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And call it what you want.
Yeah.
Okay. Smart business people make money off other people's effort.
That's right. Residual income.
Right. To a certain degree. Right.
Yeah.
So now sleep is one of those things that who can I delegate that to?
Yeah, that's true. Assistants can do a lot of that.
Almost all of it.
Yeah.
Almost
really
all of it.
It's just measurements and impressions.
Right.
To a certain,
you just
once you get
review,
the system down.
You have to review
right,
things.
Yeah, I call it social visits.
You walk in and you say, how are you doing?
True.
Yeah.
You're
right.
Looking at numbers.
And then,
you're looking at numbers.
And then
like,
what happens,
numbers, things are going
is,
great.
Then what happens, my assistant comes to me and says, hey, we're seeing so-and-so. They're reporting this. What do you want me to do? Okay.
Yep.
Does that make sense?
Right. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So in our practice, we've dedicated a sleep champion. Her name is Liz in our practice, and she's
I like that. Just stop right
champion.
There. Champion.
Yeah, it's
like
a champion.
That's good.
She owns it.
Yeah.
So
it's her baby.
But she has a team.
I'm gonna go back and do because I'd like doing Botox.
Yeah,
you know,
she has a Botox champion.
It's like I have a Botox champion.
Yeah, somebody in your practice
that owns,
so it's an ambassador.
Or you call
and
an ambassador.
Keeps track of everything.
They own it.
Yeah.
Liz used to be my implant champion.
Yeah.
Okay, and so I want to get into talking about how this is beneficial for your team members as well. Okay, because just like you want to grow, they want to grow too. Okay, you know, like I look at Liz. She started with me straight out of assisting school. She was 25, 26 at the time, whatever it was, okay? And I asked her one day, I said, when you're 45, do you think you can do this pace anymore? She goes, I don't think so. I said, what are you going to do with yourself? I said, how are you going to replace that income? Can you live without the money? She goes, of course not. I go, then you better find something else to do. Right? And I said, well, there's growth opportunities here in the practice. So you got to become a champion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you got to own this business model within the business, okay? But so ultimately, so I got a text from her yesterday. Hey, I did my 9th sleep appliance today while I was here. 9th for the month, okay?
Awesome.
So I set a goal for her that we need to do for the first quarter, 10 per month,
mm-hmm.
okay? And you won't have to ever assist again.
Man.
Interesting.
That's awesome.
Okay? Because
you're replacing the same income
of course.
With that as long as you hit your goals.
Because I still have another assistant.
But as long as you hit your goals, she's making more.
At the end of the day, if you use the general guru format that your team member should produce, it should be 5x, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So for every dollar a person costs you, we should your practice your revenue by 5x. So for me, 10 sleep appliances is going to revenue all in about $28,000 per month. Okay, so I said to her, I said, Liz, if you never want to assist, you need to revenue about $25,000 to $30,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I said, I just want you to focus on sleep. So what's happened is what I did in my, because I have my personal rainy day fund and my practice rainy day fund, I said, Liz, I will fund you for 6 months. Okay, so your salary, let's call it 50 grand a year. Okay, maybe it's more, maybe it's less. Okay, but let's call it 50 grand a year. So that's $25,000 out of my pocket that I'm willing to take a bet on you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Liz, after 6 months, if this doesn't work out, you're gonna come back and suck spit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So I said, all right. So I'm gonna front the money for you. We're gonna make it happen. All right. So Liz is 100% dedicated to sleep. That's it. Liz, you go out and meet the neurologist, you go out and meet the psychiatrist, you go out and meet the sleep physicians, take me, set my meetings up when I need to go. You go follow up with all these patients, you write the letters, that's all you do all day long, whatever it takes for you to get to the number we need to get to.
Okay. And she's working less.
In a way. She's working the same hours, but she's working a different...
Yeah,
she's working
kind of work.
Yeah. She's working
differently. Smarter, not harder, as they say.
Exactly.
Yeah,
of course.
Which is what you're doing,
does
too.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So now here's the beauty of it. So legally, at least in my state of North Carolina, I imagine every state in the country, is dentistry cannot happen while I'm not there.
Right.
Okay, while a dentist is not there. But who's in my office when I was here?
My associate.
Right. So legally, there's a dentist in the building, so that frees Lizza to do what?
Impressions.
Gotcha. Impressions and records.
She's supervised, yeah.
She's supervised, correct?
Right.
So now I'm producing when I'm not even there.
Residual income.
In a way. Right. Okay, in a way. It's residual income. So ultimately, that's the model I need people to get. And that's what I need them to understand is... Sure, you can continue to work hard and do all those things, but add this on the side then.
Yeah.
If you're money driven, because at that point because I think people are driven by three things. Ultimately, however you boil it down, it's three things. It's either money, time, or satisfaction. Okay, so I'm past the money stage of my life. I'm about right now. It's about time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'm sure 5 or 7 years from now, it'll be all about satisfaction. Right, so. So those are the things that I want people to understand is how can we make that happen? What do we have to do? You got to think backwards to achieve that goal. And you got to say, what in dentistry can I do that allows me to make more money without having to actually do the work myself?
So what I'm hearing, though, from all of this is that it seems like a linchpin of this idea is you have to have an associate that is happy in that situation, you know, that is happy being somebody who's kind of getting some of that more basic dentistry, some of that less productive dentistry, and is cool with that, and is maybe not necessarily wanting to turn into a business owner necessarily. Do you feel that that's the case?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Not at all. So you feel like it's somebody who, because if you feel like somebody that you want to learn to become more like you at some point and maybe replace you at some point?
So I always believe in the concept of replace yourself.
Okay.
So I believe in two things with my team members. One, always work to replace yourself. Okay, and two, own your space. Okay, so own whatever it is you do and work towards replacing yourself. Okay, so I'm going to use you as an example because this is what I hear all the time about associates. Okay, it's well, you got to find associates who's happy doing fillings and crowns. I'm like, well, what the hell? You're the owner and you're happy doing fillings and crowns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so so you want an associate who wants to do all the nice stuff and you're going to do all the crap stuff? You know, it doesn't make sense. So we determine that you need to do $80,000 a month. Mm-hmm. All right. So if you're doing 4 hybrids a month, do you want to do any single units? Do you need to do any single units?
No.
Would you let your associate do those single units?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Every day, all day.
All right, so great. So start with an associate and say, listen, my plan, and this is what I try to get my people.
Just be upfront with them.
Right, but my problem with millennials, and I don't want to get into this, is they can't see 2 years from now. They want it now.
Right. That's okay? Why I'm saying that it could be challenging.
Yeah.
But you'll find the right person who sees the vision. Okay, you will. Okay. So the vision is listen, first you go to prove yourself that you can do fillings and crowns very well. Because if you can't do fillings and crowns very well, I'm sure as a hell not going to let you drill an implant into somebody's head.
Yep.
Okay?
Right.
If you can't take out a tooth well and preserve a socket, I sure as a hell not going to let you take out a tooth and put an implant in at the same time. Okay? So prove yourself on these basic things. Do root canals. Become a good, solid general dentist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Right. I'm going to focus my attention on sleep, single unit implants, a few hybrids here and there. My goal is that a year or two from now, I no longer want to do single unit implants. Okay, and you can have all of them.
Gotcha.
Okay, because I'm going to move on to that.
And then you're enhancing the skills of your associates.
Of course.
So they're still being trained. The understanding from the beginning is you will eventually get here.
Yeah.
But you have to show me. Well,
you'll surpass me.
Right, but show me that you can do this first.
Well, what's wrong with that?
No, it's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. No. I agree that we need to try to mentor people because there's a lack of mentorship.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Mentorship, but mentorship, you see, the mentality, you see, here's...
But what you're saying is mentorship.
But somebody into the practice. The tough thing is that this person comes out of school and they're like, I am a doctor. So this person comes into their room who needs a hybrid. And they're like, so I'm just going to pass that on.
And now, what they see, though, is they see the 30% from that $50,000 case.
Right, right. Not that it's wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong, but you got to get past them. They're going to have to get past that mindset that they deserve that because they treatment plan the patient. They have to go, no, Tarun
is
he
mine.
Knows
this is
Dr. Agarwal can do this at a high level, so he gets it. I mean,
what's in the best interest of the patient?
For you to do it.
You want somebody 6 months out of school doing that?
No way. I'm the
practice owner going to have to fix that crap?
I don't disagree with you.
And whose name is going to be bludgeoned when that
Yours.
Doesn't go well?
Yours.
I mean, so you tell me, my challenge with millennial, like I talked to the millennial guy yesterday, I made him buy me dinner just for the hell of it, okay? But
that's awesome.
I bet that was hard right
No, it was Hattie B's. These guys are unbelievable sometimes. We get there and there's a line out the door to go to this Nashville chicken place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's cold outside. I'm like, dude, there's no way we're going to even get inside the door, much less order in 20 minutes. Oh, yeah, it'll be 20 minutes. I'm like, dude, I'll bet you dinner on it. Okay?
I love it.
And you won that one, didn't you?
Hell yeah.
I guarantee it all day.
$8.
Wisdom versus a millennial.
Of course, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It's $8. I'm like, dude, you can buy me an $8 deal and a heartbeat, right? Of course I'm going to let him pay for it, right? But But ultimately, so my challenge with millennials is they think of an associateship as a residency where you just go in and try shit.
Yep.
Oh, I got a patient to say yes. Let me just try it. Why right. not?
It's true.
Fake it till you make it.
No, yeah. well, sure. I faked it till I made it too.
Because that's
what I
did.
But I owned the practice.
I mean, that's what we
I owned the practice. I put the money on the line.
That's true.
There's a difference between an employee and an employer.
So absolutely.
But I guess, again, we all, though, didn't. That wasn't our mindset. That wasn't your mindset. You went, you know what? You went in there and you said, I'm going to try this. I've never done it before. And you wanted to do that. That's why you got to where you are. Well, but did you? But was that really the way you looked at it? Did you look at it as they're backing me up, or did you look at this? I'm going to fake it till I make it.
Of course, you fake it.
Because I mean, that's what I'm saying is like a lot of people, if they're pushing, if they really do want to be successful, they're going to say, "Let me try it, man. Let me try. I want to be better, so let me try."
Okay, here's my answer for somebody that says you want to try it. Here's a wonderful class in the Dominican Republic. Or here's Justin Moody's class in Phoenix, Arizona. Be happy to go try it.
Gotcha.
You go try it there.
That's the test, though.
You go try it there, then you can come back here and try it here.
Okay, I gotcha. I think that's a good answer.
We talked about this morning with somebody you know that it's like, man, every time you just try to lay out a little bit of something like, hey, I really think you need to do this.
Right.
I really think you need to do this, and they're not doing it.
Right.
And so why would you ever want them touching something that's more complicated if they're not willing to
they're
put
not
in
willing
the dues?
To just
we
go
talked with Justin Moody
level.
Yesterday about his, you know, his implant pathways program, and it's legit.
Right.
And to me, it's not taking a weekend course. It's a continuum to learn complex dentistry, the procedures that you might love.
And by
to
the
do.
Way, where'd that patient come from?
The one that walked in looking for the hybrid.
Yeah, where'd they come from?
They usually came from someone else you did a hybrid on, or somebody else that's got that word. That somebody else has got that word of mouth.
Let me open this up for you. I don't want you to lose any.
No, I'm good. I'm good. Don't worry. I got it. but where'd that? So who put the money up and created that goodwill?
It's all the marketing came from you.
So like it's like I had an associate once, a patient I've been talking to 8 years, finally ready to do his full veneer work.
Yep.
Well, I saw a patient in hygiene. I got them to say yes. I'm like, did you read the notes? We've planned and done everything
that's
for 8 years.
Right.
That would really upset me.
They're all mine at the end of the day.
Right.
Look, I make no bones about it. My name is on the door. I put $1.5 million in this place. I write your check. I write everybody else's check in here. It's my patient.
So how do you handle that then?
The answer is no.
The answer is no.
The answer is, listen, have you done one before? Have you gone and taken any classes about it?
Your results.
No, so have you gone and taken any classes about it? Because everybody has to have their first. You have to lose your virginity some point in time, right?
But you're not going to be the guy to go in there and show them, is what you're saying.
No, I'm happy to.
You will, okay.
Okay. I'm happy to teach
people.
So
they say, I want to learn one. You're going to say, you can have one of my patients?
I'm going to say, you go take education first.
Yeah.
And then I will mentor you through the process.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. On a patient that's
of course.
That's their patient.
And I will inform the patient up front.
Here's the best example, though, is like your wife needs veneers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, let's say that she knows. Okay, you're going to let your associate say, hey, I want to prep your wife's veneers. Mm. Because if you treat every member of your practice
like our saying is we treat every your patients
as
like you would
your
own family.
So would you let your associate treat your wife?
Let me ask you this. Would you let your associate prep your wife for veneers?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, now what would you want him to do? What would prove it to you? You would say you need to go to Spear,
right?
And you need to do the facial generated treatment planning. You also
learn
need
and
to
go to the prep course,
right? And go to the prep course.
So
and
I told
then,
you they treat
then,
it like a residency.
Yeah.
Then I might let you prep my wife for veneers after I see you do the work,
right?
On somebody else.
That's true. That's true.
Okay.
But that's not how most of us learn. That's not how we say that.
That is how you learn.
But when you started off, did you go take a huge continuum before you did a veneer case?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I went to LVI
before you did any veneers though.
No, I took my first.
You didn't
patient
mess
there.
Some up first.
I took my patient there.
You did. So you didn't mess any cases up.
Uh-uh. Before?
Okay, I'm impressed. Did you mess any cases up?
I made some mistakes. I went to a GPR after.
Well, I know,
but that's where I prepped my first veneer case.
But you didn't know how to do it all, I guess is what I'm saying. You didn't go spend $50,000 to learn how to treatment plan those cases.
We live in the world of the Google and the YouTube.
Yeah.
You don't even have to spend you don't have to spend $1. I'm saying put some effort in to show me that you're learning between 5 p.m. and 8 a.m. how to do stuff.
Okay, I'm with
you.
That's another
my
thing
patients
too.
Are not your
that.
Guinea pigs.
Yes, okay.
Like
it's the mindset. It's not that you're saying it's got to be this. It's just that show me that you're willing to learn,
and then
we'll start moving
that
direction.
You've done a case?
Show
me the before and
show
after.
Show me the before and after.
Here's the thing is what you're saying is the whole mentality about our podcast and about what you're saying is that you're trying to take it to the next level.
Yeah, sure.
We are trying to encourage people to go out and read journals.
Yeah, we're fans of what you're saying. It's just that we're trying to think about how do you... how do you get somebody to that point? Because that's the challenging thing. It's like, it's, you're saying you want that, but on a day-to-day basis, that patient comes in for that veneer case and you go, at what point are they ready then? At what point do you say they're ready to start doing that? That's a challenge. I would think that'd be a challenge.
Age-old question, okay? So here, in a perfect world, here's my mindset. Number one, what kind of patient is it? This see, it's not black and white, it's gray. Yeah. Okay, number one, if your wife came in, no offense, she looks like she might be a little bit particular about how her teeth look. Okay, that's not somebody for my associate to do. Okay?
Gotcha.
Yeah, you're okay? Not touching my wife.
No, but you see what I'm saying?
I know what you mean. Right. What you mean.
Okay, but let's say somebody comes in, they're not super particular, they start with fangled up teeth, like literally anything's better than what the hell you started with. Yeah. That's a good case for you to start on, okay?
Gotcha.
All right, so see, the other thing people, I think, that young dentists don't understand is they don't understand that they don't have that ability. And because I've made mistakes where I've had patients where I've done their work, given the money back, and they still haunt me to this day.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you never do that again, correct?
Oh, yeah.
That
man.
Sucks. How many times have we heard Gary Wood talk about
oh,
that?
Oh, yeah.
Dude?
Never make them happy.
Never make them happy. Never,
so what, there's this ability that you come with from doing cases and having time where you can just look at somebody and say, you know, I don't want to work on
don't
you.
Don't touch that.
No,
yeah.
There's no chance. And there is that for somebody graduating school, and it's no fault of their own, that doesn't exist in their head.
No.
All they see are teeth.
Right. Okay? Right. I can do something about that.
I can do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
So let me ask you, who pays for that? Who pays for the education? So you're saying you want them to get the education?
I'm not going to pay for it.
So they're going to pay. They
well,
need
I'm
to pay.
I'm a unique situation. I have free classes upstairs because I do my own training, correct? So my training center is
okay. But say it's somebody that doesn't have that. What would you advocate? You would advocate that they would spend that money on their own to go out to say LVI or SPIR or whatever.
Did I pay for the dental school?
Gotcha. So I'm just wanting to know what you think about it.
I'm supposed to give you a job, pay you a guaranteed salary, pay you a percentage, and I'm supposed to pay for your education. Should I come wipe your ass too?
Yes.
But that's what these millennials want.
I get where you're coming from, man. I'm a believer. I've told my associate, I've said, God, look, man, I love you.
Listen,
but you got
to
show me.
If you can't afford it, stop going out to drugs. So,
that's exactly right. Okay, yeah. So here's the first thing.
Get
a new phone here.
Okay, right,
we all
have
my first question to somebody is, when's the last time you went out to eat? And what I love asking all you guys, you Americans are unbelievable. I ask you guys, what do you
no.
Right,
man, you're an American.
No, I'm so Indian. Listen, you'll see anywhere I go, I drink water.
Yeah.
Because it's free.
Yeah.
Okay. And even at this point where I make a lot of money,
it's
still
free.
That's
why I drink coffee, man. It's just colored with stuff water.
It's $5, dude. That stuff is Starbucks.
No, we made that.
It's still
anyway. But I got what you're saying.
So
my
question
is,
I don't drink out. Because drinks are unbelievably expensive out.
Right.
Okay, so when you say to me you don't have money to spend, you just don't have the value
right.
of where your money should
money
go.
Money management skills.
True.
Okay, right? So ultimately, at the end of the day, listen. So if you have an associate that you really believe in and that what really holds them back is money, maybe you help them out.
Gotcha.
Okay,
yeah.
Hey, I'll front you the money.
Right.
You got to pay me back.
Yeah.
I'll self-finance you.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute. Well, I'm going to kind of be a little devil's advocate. Sorry. Is that... You just said that you made a $25,000 risk
on your assistant.
Yeah, but I didn't do that the day I hired her.
It's true. Okay.
But you're saying if somebody was motivated.
I wouldn't do that on the day I hired somebody.
Right.
No way in hell.
But if you were.
Why would I? Okay, so back to this. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
How often have we in dentistry thought about, you know what? Let's bring somebody in from the outside and promote them to this high level job when you're just letting your poor person who's been unbelievably loyal. Faithful,
oh, sucks,
worked
man.
Hard
they,
with
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
they
okay,
hate that's bad news.
And you,
bad
so
news.
Now you bring somebody in.
What are
and
you
let
saying
them, because
to
I did this last
you mean
year.
Nothing to me.
I brought somebody in as a sleep champion last year, and then 9 months in, she left.
Oh man,
right?
Yeah. And then you got to hold a list.
So you got to prove yourself.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, what's wrong in that?
Nothing
wrong with that.
Nothing's wrong.
I'm saying there's no ceiling in anything in life.
But the problem is
nobody gets it. At the end of the day, we don't get it either.
That's true.
Okay, because we want to blame them all the time. It's easy to do.
Right.
Just like my dad's to this day looks at me and says I'm lazy.
Right.
Okay, because I didn't work 7 days a week, 24
yes.
hours a day. Sure. I didn't clean rooms, plunge toilets,
work week,
you know, all
right.
of that.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so every generation has that same
right.
way that we look at the generation behind us. Like the world's going to go to hell in a handbasket.
Right.
I'm going to use a term here, and it's like, I feel like, and I know John does too, is I feel like there's a lack of wannabes.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning like for instance, like I want to be that guy right there, and I'm willing to put the time and the effort in
right.
to be apprenticed by that person to become that. And I'm willing, you know what? It's let's say right now, that we had no dental degrees, okay? Mm-hmm. And we wanted to go out and start a business with $0 in our pocket, okay? We could do it. And here's how. Is we're going to put the sweat equity. I'm going to show up and I say, you know what? I want to be an insurance salesman. And I'm going to go in here and I'm going to say, look.
But I have $300,000 in loans.
Right. But here's the thing. I'll sweep your carpet. I'll sweep your floors. Mm-hmm. I just want to hang around this place. How many like rags to riches stories do you hear about people that are billionaires?
Yeah, but there's far and few between. Okay?
Well, but I'm just saying the mentality of that is a wannabe. Yeah. Like if somebody came into you and say, I want to be.
It's the American dream.
Yeah, it's the American dream. And it can happen. Yeah.
And as much as you say that the generational thing is a farce, it's not all a farce because there is something to that where you kind of go, there's this lack of respect of the time that it takes to get to that point. And as we were talking to Justin about yesterday, we're like, it is hard.
But listen, it's not supposed to be easy. When I first started speaking, okay, I had people that were like, I've been speaking for 20 years, you need to put your time in. And I was like, hell, if I need to put my time in, I'll just shorten that timeline. Okay, so I need to put my time in, but and so what took you 10 years, I can do in 3 years. Okay, so certainly we can shorten the timeline because technology, the availability of information, having seen somebody do it before you,
right?
Okay,
there's some things that make it easier.
Okay,
yeah.
So you can shorten that timeline. Okay, but the work still goes in.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
The steps are still there. They're just done in a faster manner. Then this, instead of this long, you just do that many steps in this long.
So when you get to that point, though, where if the associate says it's time, I want to learn this, and they put in that time, and you might even help them financially. But
sure.
The point is that they've got to prove each step along the way, and then eventually you'd love for them to be able to do what you're doing.
Of course, I want to always replace myself.
Yeah.
But I want you to define they put in the time. Have they simply showed up from 8 to 5 for a year? That's not putting in
that's
the time.
Not, that's not taking it to the next level.
Have they watched me do procedures? Do they come in on their Monday off?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Are they? Who are they? Who are they?
I once had an associate said, can you schedule that case on a Tuesday through Friday when I'm here? I'm like, nope, I'm going to schedule it on a Monday. You can come in on your day off.
Mm. The one thing that I didn't expect. Yeah. And it's got to be, that's what they've got to be willing to do, is come in and learn.
If you want to be successful around me,
John, we take time off. We take a day off of work. And how much production do we lose?
Right. Right, you know? Lose it. Yeah.
We lose it. We're not asking that guy to lose production. You're just asking him to come in on his day off.
Right, to come in and learn, because that's a free CE course is what that is.
At the end of the day,
it's a free CE course.
So my question is, why would you... So to me, there's a level of arrogance, okay?
There's the word.
Yeah. Okay? There's a level of arrogance, not in the way you act, okay?
Right.
But in your mindset, that you feel that I've learned so much, so already...
Oh,
okay,
and
especially my friends out of GPR residencies, they really feel that, okay? Right? So there's level of arrogance that I don't need to learn, okay? And what I'm saying is that mentality, at least with me, will never work.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Like, to this day, I see patients 3 days a week, almost 40 weekends a year I'm working Thursday, Friday, Saturday, okay? So, but there are a few Thursdays and Fridays I'm at the office, okay? I'm not out of town, I'm off, okay?
Yeah,
let's call it. Mm-hmm. I'm in the office on Thursday, okay? And on that Friday, I'll go to my periodontist office, my oral surgeon's office, my endodontist office, because I'm there to learn,
mm-hmm. yep.
okay? Because I can always get better.
Of course.
Okay, there's always something new for me to learn.
That's good.
So my question is why? And that goes back to my point. I don't have money for CE. Great, we have an oral surgeon that'll do anything I ask. I have a periodontist that'll do anything I ask. I have an endodontist that'll do anything I ask. And I have an orthodontist that'll do almost anything I ask.
Yep.
Okay, so if you want to go learn and you don't have the money, I will personally call them.
Yeah.
Okay, and set up a time for you to go shadow them.
Yeah.
What more can I do?
Right.
Like I said, do you want me to wipe your butt too?
Right. It's free.
So if you can't call them for me, like if you call and just say my name,
right.
they will understand what you're calling about.
Right. So be willing. If you're
so,
not
but
willing
you
want to
guinea pig my patients.
So what you're saying then is like, and I caught your body language on this, is that he's saying, and what I caught from you is that it's not a lack of mentors.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lack of apprentices.
Right. Who are willing.
Mindset apprentices.
Right,
apprentices.
Who have that mindset.
That wannabe mindset.
Yeah, that are okay with
they want to be fed on their terms, their time, their conditions.
Right.
At their timeline.
Right. So how do you tap into somebody? Like, okay, let's say...
Well, here's the good news. I don't own multiple offices. I don't need but one.
Right.
Yeah. Okay,
right.
So I just need to find the right one.
Right, exactly. So let's just talk a little bit about, like, from a standpoint of, like, if you've got a... We've got somebody here, like ourselves, like myself. I don't have an associate. You have an associate.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're going to interview somebody, and you said you haven't figured this out yet... Okay.
There's a lot I haven't figured out.
Are there personality tests that have been, you know, like there's certain...
Did he put you through a personality test before you guys dated and got married? There's a personality test called the gut.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's
okay?
true.
Because I can fake anything.
That's true.
Sure.
Okay, was he nice? Like, my wife tells me all the time, okay, when I met you, your apartment was clean. You had a housekeeper. You had a car washed every week. Then we got married, and what the hell happened to you? Okay?
Right. So the real you came out.
There's a value to these personality tests, but what I'm saying is, at the end of the day, the value is what you feel.
Yeah.
Okay, and you'll be wrong sometimes. You'll be right sometimes, but you can't test people to death.
Yeah.
That's true.
You're going to lose more good people than the bad people you avoid.
Right. So okay. So is there any skill set test then? Or is it just coming in and start to work? If you feel like, hey, this guy's got to, you know, you hear a lot of people say hire for personality, train for skill.
Mm-hmm.
Is like we hire, this person's got a good communication base because it's hard to teach communication.
That's another thing that associates don't, young dentists. I want to stop using the word millennial.
Yeah, I agree. Okay? Yeah.
Young dentists.
Nice. Young
dentists, young okay? Dentists. Yeah. They don't believe in, they don't put any effort and time into learning how to get patients to say yes.
Right, I agree
Very
with
true.
That.
We talked about that.
Yeah,
all
like
day.
We talk about, yeah. you know, some people like
body language. Learning the communication skills and reading books. And I mean, these are things that.
You can go back to what you were saying, too. I'm sorry, I interrupted
no,
you.
No, I understand. But I mean, like, is that harder to teach than a skill set? Mm-hmm. So, like, you meet somebody and you hit it off and you're like, man, I feel like this guy's a pretty nice guy or whatever. We seem to, like, hit it off. And then, like, at what point? I mean, like, you're like, I'm done with this guy.
All right, so let's look at this way. So let's reverse engineer the question. Okay?
Now, and let me throw this in there. If 50% of people in dental school, and I don't want to be sexist because we have a lot of women listeners. And,
I like the women listeners.
And I do too.
Just saying.
And I too. My wife is a practicing clinician. And so the thing is that if we have that many women that are coming into the dental field, 50%, is that, I think that's an advantage for them to be a business owner, but not only that, is that a woman wants to have children, they want to have a family, and why would they not want
bring back the 1950s?
Yes. They want to work part time.
Right. It
they
seems do. Like that could be a good fit
That's
for
a
what
good fit.
For the type of business that you're talking about.
And some
you
of,
maybe. Yeah, maybe. Know. It's hard to say that.
Right. So that, like that. If you look at this, it's like
it should be.
It
the
should
base,
be,
the
in
basis
theory.
Of my question is it harder and it to train for personality, or is it hard, or communication, or skill, and or this is about the same? And then, at what point do you say, "Man, I'm just done with this"?
Yeah.
You
know?
Okay, so let's reverse engineer the question. Okay.
Okay.
So, let me put it this way. Let's pretend. Let me go back 15 years, and I want to go apply for a job. Okay, I want to present myself as the best associate possible. So the first thing I ask people is when I'm interviewing them straight out of school, I say, so tell me what kind of things have you been reading?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, non-dental books. I already tell you they don't love dentistry. Okay, have you met students here while you've been here?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I met like 10 or 12 students here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those are the kind of people I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. Okay, my next thing is, can you show me any examples of your work? Well, you didn't have a camera. What, you guys didn't have x-rays either? You didn't have a phone that you couldn't take pictures of your x-ray with that?
It's right. A portfolio.
Yeah, at the end
it's
of the day.
A portfolio.
So, like, when you meet artists, how do you know how good
portfolio.
The artist is? Portfolio.
Start
right.
doing that now
yeah.
if so, you want to sell yourself in the end.
At the end of the day, the life is about selling yourself.
Right.
Whether it's to patients. You know, why did you want to interview me? Somehow I've sold myself that I'm someone
how,
that you want to interview.
Let me just say right now, how John and I got together is like this. Is yeah. like, hey, man, check this case
out. At a bar at night.
Yeah, late at night.
Late at night yeah. in Sweden.
Yeah. it was yeah. interesting.
But I mean, like, it's you show me a case, I'll show you a case. And
right.
eventually you're like, okay, this guy really knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. But that's you feel that passion when you talk to somebody. When it comes up quickly, you're like, hey, man, so what do you learn? You know, what are you reading? Like you yeah. say, would you see that article in last week's or
would
last month's
Would you let Justin Mooney do an implant in one of your patients?
Yeah,
from
hands
what,
down.
From
and you've never seen his work.
Right, never seen his work.
And you never met him, really, right?
Right. Yeah.
But, he's gained that trust because
right.
he's from shown
what,
you examples.
Have, yeah,
right.
exactly.
Right.
From
and,
what we
and,
know.
And you just have
it's
the discussion.
It's his portfolio of work.
Right.
It's his book of business.
So when you talk to somebody and you're talking to them in the interview and you say those kinds of things, you look at you, what would I want myself to have done?
The intangibles.
Yeah.
How are you performing right now?
And how are you going to know you're successful and what's the measure of success?
So you're coming out of school, 1 year out of school, 2 years out of school. You've left a big office or another office. Let's say, so what have you done in the last 2 years? Tell me, but what do you read? What do you do from 5 p.m. to 8 a.m.?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do on Saturdays and Sundays?
Yep.
Okay, because to me, the measure of a person that wants to be great at what they do at some point in their life is what they do outside of work.
Very true.
Okay, you can drink all you want. You can do all those things. But tell me that you're reading. Tell me that you're learning. Because all those things are free. Okay, we live in the day and age of education is essentially free.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you can learn anything on the Google, anything on the YouTube, anything on the Facebook, anything on the Twitter, anything you want on podcasts.
Yep.
At the end of the day, podcasts are free education, right? So if you can't show me that you've invested time in that, it just
right.
tells
You're probably
me,
not the right
for
person me,
for me.
Yeah.
Okay, now if I had 100 offices, I'm just looking for a heartbeat.
Right, right.
Okay, can you do dentistry? Okay, but what I'm looking for is something different. And my wife tells me that's my problem, is that I want somebody very good when I'm trying to put somebody in a spot just to fill a, in a sense, plug a hole. I go, but my mentality just simply won't let me, because I want more for that person. Because I want, the, because if, okay.
You're trying to replicate yourself.
Yeah. No, I'm not. Well, because I don't want anybody to be like
me. But you're
me.
Not going to tolerate somebody, though, who's yes. going to just clock can, in, clock out. Yes, that's not going to happen
problem.
In your
that's
practice.
The problem.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Or clock no, but no. I can tolerate it. If they up front say, listen, I'm happy doing fillings and crowns.
Right, right.
I want to serve your practice. I want to have a good life. I don't ever want to do more than that.
And no one's ever going to say that. I don't
so
think.
So I've had people tell me
You've
that.
You've had people tell you that. Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
I've had people tell me that.
Huh. Well, and so that could work in, yeah. in this situation.
Yeah, but that person's honest but, with themselves.
But do you really want that person?
Yes. Why not?
Because don't you want to have that relationship with them that's like they're challenge you're challenging them, they're challenging
because
you, isn't this
he,
a good thing?
Remember what he said, he's like he's all about what he wants.
Well, you're right. But I mean, that would be tough wrong. For you. I would think for you though that'd be hard to deal with that person day
no,
to day if they
go,
don't
sure,
want that.
But the long as they want to get better at fillings and crowns, great.
As long as they're wanting to get better. Even if it's just at that,
well,
you're
that's
good with
exactly
that.
What you want. Show me your portfolio. Oh, yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
And that's all really I want to do.
Right.
And I really want to get better. And I know my
yeah.
bonding. I want to
be the best crown
that,
in the world.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sweet.
Okay.
What's sweet. Wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with that.
No,
yeah, no,
I mean,
no. I didn't know that's what you were saying.
See, to me, it's... So ultimately what happens is a rising tide, all these fancy sayings, rising tide lifts all boats, whatever it is, okay? Ultimately what that means is... That when you have somebody good around you that can take things off your chest, off your plate, now you can fill your plate with other things.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can fill it with something else. Okay, and I've always had that mentality that if something were to happen tomorrow, I would find a way to survive. Okay, and I could reinvent myself. I could do something different, and so ultimately, my practice is no different than that. I want to do that. And another thing we didn't talk about is medical billing.
Mm-hmm.
That's just free revenue. Because the reimbursements are better, or we're doing it with, like, how many, do you guys take out teeth in your practice?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay, yeah. Do you see those patients for post-op sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
sometimes.
Sutures or whatever, or maybe whatever.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's no big deal, right?
Yeah.
It only costs you $50 every time you see them.
Chair time.
It's all right. Chair time.
It is chair time.
No big deal. Right. I just, here's $50. Let me give you $50. Don't come in.
Right.
Okay? Right? Well, why do we have such a nonchalant attitude about it?
Mm. That's right. We do.
Because
medicine doesn't.
Your assistant.
Every single time you go to the doctor, they charge
you. Your assistant had to tear down that room,
yeah.
set it up,
I told him this
spray
the other
it down.
Day. I said every time
your
y'all
front
touch
office
a room,
person
bucks.
Had to pick up the phone and confirm that appointment.
You're right.
Okay. That person had to make the appointment, and there's a percentage of patients you have to reschedule because they can't make that appointment and no longer is good for them.
Yeah, definitely okay. costs you money.
It costs you money.
Yeah.
So why in the hell is it okay just to do it for free?
It's not.
Okay, so then get paid
not,
for it.
It's not what you do. It's,
then
what,
get paid
it's not
for
what
it.
You do. It's what you know.
Get paid for it.
I
medical
agree.
Insurance will pay for those visits.
For a post-op.
Yeah, it's an office visit. When's the last time you went to the doctor's
so
office
instance,
and
I've
didn't get charged
yeah,
for an office visit?
To be honest with you, I've been thinking about this. It's a little sidebar, but it's like a procedure that John and I have incorporated. We've been trying to cheat a little more TMD and all that kind of thing. We've been doing some anterior discluding devices.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's an assistant.
Those are medically payable procedures.
Yeah,
well, I just goofing around the cup.
So the thing is that you charge, it's the whole thing is assistant driven.
Yeah.
You know, I've
yeah.
got to the point now where I've trained my assistants, and it's like I just walk in the room, and it's like, hey, how you feeling? Touch a few muscles, and I'm out.
But why right. are you billing that to medical?
No, I'm not.
Why not?
I need to be. Because
but why not?
I just don't know how.
Because I don't know how.
Don't know how.
So you don't have access to the YouTube or the Google?
I do, but I haven't.
You don't have a few $1,000
to
go learn something?
I'm available.
That's
teach
maybe
me.
That's the next okay. step. Look, maybe that's the next step.
But my question is why are we not doing that? So we want to complain about the young dentist not doing it, but yet we do it ourselves.
Sure. Sure.
That's right. You're
it's
right.
It's the next step.
I'm just asking.
Touché,
so at the end of the day, I mean, it's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. You're guilty of it, right?
Is but it yet the mentality we wanna,
it's,
that
but
we
it's
just,
okay for us to bitch about them being like that, but yet it's not okay for us to be like right. that.
If we're not pushing it to the next level on what we're doing.
So at the end of the day, well, how can you expect anybody around you to be any different if you yourself aren't constantly pushing? So what my team will say about me is that, listen, I'm difficult to get along with sometimes, but I'm constantly pushing.
Yeah, trying to get better.
Yeah, constantly. If we have no movement, we're dying.
Very
so my
true.
Question is this, so you don't want to get paid, so you don't think you could sell more if medical insurance paid for
Heck
it for
yeah,
your patients?
Man. Thank oh you my so goodness. Yeah. Oh, I know.
So then why aren't you learning? So you like, I know you like doing fillings and crowns. They're so fun.
No, I don't.
Well, I'm learning about the apnea devices, medical billing. That's something.
So you're treating TMD, you better be treating sleep apnea. You home
right. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what we. Yeah, that's one of the reasons. It changed our whole world when we went out and took that course of occlusion and now we're taking
the
sleep course.
In
Spear, that's what we're doing this summer. So
with Kevin,
Kevin Quishen and Jameson Spencer.
Yeah, so here's my question on that. So are you medical billing that?
Yes.
Well,
yes. That's for the appliances, yes, but not for office visits. That's okay. something that
so
I don't know enough about.
I
like giving it away for free.
Yeah, okay. I'm just saying. I gave it away free for 15 years. I mean, I might as well get $18 to $20 for it.
Absolutely. So right? I've got to learn about
that.
Do you
ever see patients that need prophys more than twice a year?
Yeah.
Sure do.
So what happens in that exam you do on them the third or fourth time?
If it's insurance, it goes away.
It's free, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you just bill medical for that?
Hmm. And you've had excellent success with that, it sounds
Exams are about 80% success.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
Deductibles and copays will enter into that equation.
Sure.
So where did you learn about it?
So I learned from, I've taken classes from Dr. Z in Chicago, Hutan Shahidi, and Chris Ferrugia, all these friends of mine.
Yeah, yeah.
And then so I brought Hutan in and we teach medical billing training. And again, for me, what's different is the education you can get on the YouTube and the Google, it's about the implementation of the workflow. It's about team integration.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, listen, nothing I do is about the education part of it. There's so much smarter people that are better than me at that, okay? So learn from them on the Google, the YouTube, wherever it is. But if you want to learn about team integration and getting your team on board and creating a workflow that makes sense in a busy general practice, that's where we can really help people.
Gotcha.
So, but I would tell you that if you want to do more sleep, we do medical billing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I'll tell you, and I'll say this honestly, is that you're not as good at medical billing as you need to be because you're not doing it enough, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So like, when you get really good at medical billing, you'll be able to have a patient in the hygiene chair, and before they leave the hygiene chair, you can tell them how much their out-of-pocket's going to be for that sleep appliance.
That's awesome. I'd love to be able to do that. Okay. I'm not there.
So then
I'm
you tell them, so you're, what you're saying to me is that you do medical billing. Like, yeah, I do medical billing, but you do it at such a low level. Okay, your bar is so low. Okay, your bar is so low that you
they walk out not knowing what it's going to pay.
So I'm not trying to be mean here, but egotistically, I learned medical billing enough, but you've never had somebody show you what's possible.
Yeah. So who do we need to talk? Who can teach that?
I can.
You can.
Yeah.
That's your thing.
That's
one
of
your things.
One
of
my
things.
Things.
So how do you do that? Do you have classes at your place?
Yeah, we have classes in Raleigh. We're doing some on the road this year, like Houston, Boise.
Where can we go?
3D-dentist.com.
3D-dentist.com.
Or T-BoneSpeaks.com.
Okay.
They'll all take you there.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But we ask me more questions. I'm not here to promote my stuff. I mean, at the end of the day, we fill them up. It's no big deal.
But this is what, I mean, we both want to go and
but
check this out.
But it's about the disruption, correct?
Yeah.
So you've already disrupted us.
Yeah, it's good disruption.
Yeah, but
because we talk about this all the time about what would we like to do. We talked about this so much about where do we want to be in 20 years? How do we get to that point? And this is a model that could get to where you want to be in 20 years. It's just, it's interesting.
How can you let yourself never stop growing?
Yeah, yeah. You can't because, like you say, you're dying if you're not growing. I mean,
right.
At some point.
How can you not say there must be more in medical billing? Like, I take classes myself sometimes, and I go to them like, well, I'm doing this already. It makes me feel at ease.
Yeah.
All right, I'm at a good level.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's my question is
I guess
what
you just don't know what the highest level is. That's the thing.
What's the worst thing that happens if I go to a CE and don't like it? I've wasted money and time.
Right. But it makes you confirm that you're doing the right thing.
That's the worst
basically.
Thing that happens.
Yeah.
So you tell me that we've become so money-minded that we can't spend a few $1,000s to figure out that we're doing it right.
Sure. No,
we're all about that.
I know, I get that, but I'm just saying, generally speaking,
most people aren't.
Most people aren't. They're right? Like, I'm good enough.
Yeah, and that's,
so,
you know
and
what?
I don't need to spend
you know
more
what?
Money.
Then don't bitch about anything.
Right.
That's why that stat is that most dentists spend $900 on education and travel yearly.
Yearly.
And that's from the office to the county dental society
that's
meeting.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yep. And then it's online, and like you say, the YouTube and the Google are good. On one hand, they've also been bad because they people go, "Oh, I got that now. I got it. I saw a video on it, so now
it
I
doesn't
know
work." I tried it in my practice, it doesn't work. You know, right. You know what I hear about medical billing the most often is, I tried it in my practice, it didn't work. I go, what'd you try it on? Oh, you know, I had this patient that came in that had a hybrid. We did, you know, took all the teeth out and gave him dentures. We billed that to medical and they didn't pay for it. I'm like, yep, it's never going to work.
Yeah, that's not what it's for.
That's one of the things it's for, but that the percentage of that bang is so low.
It's so low.
And then my next question is, oh, medical billing didn't work. How long did you try it for? How many claims do you file? So you're telling me that you went to dental school and the first time you did a prep, you became a master at it.
Right. You're not there yet. You got to keep working on it.
It's just another skill set. But more importantly, see, the other thing that I find, and this is how I did medical billing, and I'm not advocating this is how people have to do it, okay? But again, this is how, so I believe when you want to implement something, you got to go full bore, okay? Mm-hmm. So when I did medical billing, I said, you know what? I'm going to hire a medical biller. I hired Melissa. I said, Melissa, here's the deal. We got 6 months to make you worth it. Mm. All right, I'm going to front your salary for 6 months.
So this is somebody that knew medical billing already.
She was a medical biller, but she didn't know dental medical billing.
Gotcha.
Okay. I'm going to front your salary for 6 months. I'm committed to making this happen. Let's go to some education. Let's see what it takes. Yeah. Let's work on it. Your sole job, all you got to do is this.
To make your salary profitable.
So how long did it take you to get that fully implemented and trained in your practice?
12 to 18 months.
Now that what you know...
My level of implementation is higher than what you guys are even imagining.
Yeah, but right. if we went to your course, what are you telling people how long will it take them?
I tell everybody that it takes 3 to 6 months for you to see a return.
Okay. So you have to be willing to front some money. Do you recommend they hire somebody? Depends on their workload.
Because most people don't have the business mindset or the financial mindset that I have, okay? Mm-hmm. So if I met you guys, okay, I would say for you to hire somebody part-time.
Gotcha.
Okay. Dedicated person. Okay, they can be a remote employee even.
And you give it 3 to 6 months, you take them to training, and then you give it three to six months.
But you set it up front. Listen, these are my expectations. I'm going to hire you. Right. Like, I interviewed somebody the other day to come to our office, and she's working somewhere else, in another field, okay? And I said to her, so I want to be up front with you. I like you, okay? And I want to hire you, but I want you to know this. You take this job, and in 3 months from now, it doesn't work for each other. Are you going to be okay with that? Don't leave your job that you have now that pays you well.
I like the upfront mentality.
And come to my place, and I'm telling you, it's a 3 month deal.
I agree. Okay? I think that's the way you got to talk
to people. After 3 months, if it works for us, we'll keep you.
Yeah.
Okay? It's business.
Yeah, it's a business.
It's a business.
So
no, but it's also the right human thing to do, right?
With that too.
You don't want somebody to be failing and it's not working.
I don't want to take you out of your situation and put you on the streets because I got a whim.
Right.
Okay, and my whim changed.
Right.
Okay, and now suddenly you left a good job and you can't go back.
Right.
So after 3 to 6 months, just to kind of get to the brass tacks on that, you feel like things like that extra exam per year, you feel like, of course, apnea appliances.
We collected $40,000 last month in medical billing.
Wow.
In January.
So as a percentage, like you're talking about an extra 10-15%
that you could do?
Last year,
2015, we collected north of $200,000 in medical billing.
Wow. And how much of that was sleep versus other stuff?
Yeah, sleep would be 50% of that.
Okay. But still, I mean, that's $100,000 that's not even sleep. Mm-hmm. That's impressive.
The thing about
that's
sleep.
Exams and x-rays.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I want to go back to one more thing on the medical billing part, okay? So there are three ways you can do it, okay? One, you can try have a current team member do it.
Okay.
A little bit of a recipe for toughness, okay?
Yeah.
Unless you carve out time for them.
Yeah.
Okay, so the way I would approach that, I would say Susie Q, okay, because 90% of them are women, okay? Friday's your day off. I want you to put some time in on Fridays.
Yep.
If you approve of the results, I'll give you a raise, okay, or I'll move you into this position, whatever it takes. But I want you to carve out Fridays as this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you try to have somebody do this like in between everything else that you're having them do, it's just a recipe.
It has to be a dedication.
Okay. Number two, you hire a full-time, part-time virtual employee that's dedicated to doing this, and you front it for 6 months. Okay, and that person can sink or swim, okay? Or the third way of doing it is you can hire an outside billing service, okay? And they take a percentage.
Yep.
Okay? And so that's an option as well, okay?
Yep.
So my ultimate goal for everybody is to have an internal biller,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because I believe in vertical integration.
Yep.
Okay. But I say that starting off, I'm okay with small and relatively small-minded practices outsourcing it. So if you're an under $1 million practice, my suggestion is to outsource it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're a million plus and you're a business, you know, entrepreneurial to a certain degree, mm-hmm. I suggest that you bring in a person dedicated to doing it.
Okay.
So that's kind of how I look at that.
Mm-hmm. And so, but for that kind of return, if you're talking about, even if the sleep is out of it, if you're talking $100,000 return, that certainly can justify, especially a part-time person's salary.
$100,000 is a part-time person.
Absolutely.
Holy smokes, man.
I mean, that's a pretty good return.
And really, it makes you feel better.
And it's better for the patient, too. I mean, yeah, the patients are happier as well because they're getting better care. They're getting that extra exam, and they're feeling good about it.
How many people to you, and even now, because people are like, there's different insurance models that are going down even now in 2017, and they're like, hey, I've got this money. Can I spend it in your office?
Right.
Yeah. Like, I mean, like, that's crazy that we can't even tap into that, but we can.
You're
how about this? See how silly it is. So, let me preface everything I say about medical insurance this way. There's deductibles, there's copays, these affect these things, okay?
Right.
There's exclusion in plans, and there's some states like Alabama, Tennessee, Michigan, places like that that just ass backwards, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where medical insurance is a little bit tough in some of those states, okay? So
that's what we've heard about in Tennessee, because we're in Tennessee. Yeah, we've heard it's really tough. Medical billing for me was sleep has been tough, man.
It's tough, okay? Yeah. So see, there's the difference. Like here's ultimately. Like, if you signed up for my class, we'd get an email saying you signed up. Lori or myself would pick up the phone and say, listen, dude, you don't need to come to this class. Let's give you your money back.
Because Tennessee is not, it's not going to happen.
We just know. And I said, listen, I don't want to waste your time. I don't need your money that bad.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's the honesty of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, what was I talking about?
Yeah. Well, you were just saying that you got to know that whether it's going to work in your state, if it's going to be worth it.
It's going to be worth it.
Oh, medical billing. Okay. Yeah. So do you take x-rays after you do your implants?
Sure.
Do you get paid for those?
No.
Why not?
I should.
Could you?
If
I say I... See, you said two different things there, okay? You said I can. You said it might be possible. I like your answer better.
Okay?
That's setting up realistic expectations. Okay? It's possible. Okay, you can submit the claim. How long does it cost? What does it cost? And how long does it take to submit the claim? 30 seconds.
Mm.
Okay? And it may pay.
Mm.
And if it doesn't, it doesn't.
Yeah.
You were doing it for free anyway.
Yeah. And it's not a lot of time for a potential return. Right.
Exactly. Mm. So to give you examples, I can only give you based on state of North Carolina, Blue Cross Blue Shield and network provider. We get paid roughly our allowable fee is $180 for a new patient exam. Through medical insurance, like $40 through dental insurance.
Wow. So you're doing new patient exams, you're billing it through medical.
We try primary there is medical, secondary is dental.
Okay.
Okay.
And again, subject to the deductibles and the allowables and all that
stuff. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But a lot of times when we're in network, the deductibles don't apply to diagnostic or exams.
Okay. Only procedures.
So sometimes every plan depends how much your employer
pays.
This
is why you go to the course because you don't know necessarily.
Even that, I couldn't even tell you. I just say you find out. It's like if I came to your office, who's your person that does the insurance in your office?
Cindy.
So if I came to Cindy, like, what city are you in?
Give me a big
employer in your city.
John Deere.
If I came to Cindy and I said, hey, I'm from John Deere, like, she wouldn't even need my card. She can just tell you exactly what it pays, right?
Sure.
Okay, so the same thing happens with medical insurance. Like, literally, if you come to our office and you're with the Wake County school education system, like, Melissa can, out of the top of her head, she can say, okay, this
she
is
knows
what
your
the,
percentages
she just
and
knows.
All that.
She just knows. The medical insurance, even.
Yeah.
So the same thing happens. Okay, but that doesn't happen when you dabble in it.
Yeah.
Okay, when you do a medical claim every once in a while, it doesn't happen.
You gotta own it. You gotta own it.
You gotta become a champion. You gotta be a leader in it.
Okay. Well, that's where I feel like that's a challenge for us to start to look at that. And I think for a lot of our listeners, because it's something that we've talked about a little bit with sleep,
but
I was not even aware of the extent that you can get into the medical. And again,
but the shame on you guys for not getting education.
Now you're right, man.
The shame on you guys are going to listen to these old people talk.
I know, going to too many of these big meetings with these old people.
I'm dead serious. At the end of the day, what I look for in education is when I want technical education, I'm okay with the older vanguard, you know, generation. Okay, mm-hmm. Because they're a lot like Frank Spear. At the end of the day, he's been around a long time, but the guys. Unbelievable.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
John Coyce, a lot of these guys. Okay.
Right.
But when I want practice advice, I'm no offense, I'm not going to spear for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
no.
The guy doesn't practice in the traditional real dentistry.
Right,
okay?
It's not real world. Like, it's totally not different. Real world. Okay? Yeah.
So to me, you got to deal with people that are living it and doing it. That don't pretend to have all the answers. You got to deal with people that just are just like you at the end of the day, right? So it's unbelievable dentistry. I think we're in the best time ever. I think we can do so much. I think we're creating a void that's allowing DSO dentistry to thrive. Not that I think there's anything wrong with that. At the end of the day, I'm a capitalist. If we as a profession can't fill that void, and we could fill it quite easily. If 5,000 of us a year hired an associate, we could fill that void.
Yeah. I agree. You know, I think that's the thing that really scares me about going forward as a profession is that, one, is if we tap into some of the things that he's saying as a profession, then you really are helping access to care.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, because
that's true.
you're doing the bread and butter dentistry that most people need.
Right, that most people need.
And then also that you as a clinician can be happier doing the things you love.
Right.
You know, as an owner, you know, you're more entrepreneurial. Maybe you've got an associate.
Yeah.
Maybe they want to be.
But I think the challenge is it's with the younger dentists. It's with that
yielding
understanding that it's okay.
Not every associate has to be a younger dentist.
Well, you're right. You're right.
Okay.
Right. You're right. Right.
They can be that younger dentist that worked 5-6 years somewhere else, and now they want to settle down. Yeah.
But it would have been hard, I think, about for me. It would have been hard for me. Not that I didn't want to learn, not that I didn't want to get better, but you have to really think through that mindset and go, you know what? I get what this guy's trying to say to me. He wants me to become better.
This is not the GPR residency.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you have to just get that across.
And honestly, quite honestly, no practice should be a GPR residency.
But that's what a lot of DSOs are. Let's be honest.
Sure,
it's free for all, man.
That's their model. I can't say yes or no to any of that because I've never experienced it. Okay?
Well, I mean, yeah, and I haven't done it myself. But you know, you talk to people that are in that, and it is that way. So that's what a lot of younger dentists coming out of school are learning: is that you go in and it's a free for all, man. It's all about hit your production number,
right?
And so
how many wages
they
can you produce?
Right. So they get in
and
that.
What's
mindset.
Wrong with hitting your production number?
No, then nothing wrong with that. You know. But if that's all it is, and it's not about getting better, it's just production numbers.
But whose fault is that? The DSOs or the practitioners?
Absolutely, it's the practitioner's fault.
Right. At the end of the day, the onus is on yourself.
True.
Okay.
True.
You could walk away with it from that job.
Right. But in medicine, again,
they call it the golden handcuffs. You know, they've handcuffed me. Right. They've held me against my will
just
at this
can't
place.
Leave. Yeah,
but
exactly.
In medicine, though, again, as a mirror to that, they, you know, the older docs would say that the younger docs, they've been in that insurance mindset for so long, they've learned a new way.
Yeah.
And it's hard to change that back to the medical model back before insurance did dominate everything. And I think we're in that same challenge right now. How do you take somebody who's just been told you're going to see 50 patients a day, you're going to hit a production number, and then you're going to bring them in your practice and say, no, it's all about quality. And you're going to do very little in terms of procedure mix, but you're going to do very high quality. It's completely
it's
opposite.
Hard. It's hard. So I want to. I see your wife's telling us we got to get done.
Yeah, okay? It's time.
But I want to bring this full circle, okay? Because I want to give you a synopsis of what's happened in my practice in the last 4 years. Okay, so what people have to understand is there's an entire story and tale to what I'm doing. Okay, and what I'm trying to get you to buy into. I'm trying to get you to buy into a lifestyle or a philosophy, okay? And that is, at the end of the day, I asked you when I started by how can you take more time off, okay? So if you didn't have to see some of the patients, if you could produce more doing less, you could produce enough to make the money that you want to make, you would take more time off.
Sure.
Okay.
Every day.
Then I asked you guys about why don't you take 3 or 4 weeks off in a row?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the hell's going to happen to my practice? Who's going to watch your practice? Okay? So now, by being able to advance yourself, okay, and not get rid of that underneath you, but give that to somebody else. Now somebody's there to monitor and hold your practice up while you're able to take that month off or 3 weeks off or whatever it is that you dream about doing. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then for the other model in this is at the end of the day, my goal is not to grow your practice size-wise at all. Mm-hmm. At all. Mm-hmm. Okay, my model is, you know what, let's maximize what's within your practice already. Okay, let's take what revenue opportunities we're missing in medical billing,
mm-hmm,
with exams and x-rays, things that were given away for free. Let's $20 this to death. Okay, then I'm trying to say, you know what? What about all those patients that walk through your practice today that have sleep apnea already?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's give them an opportunity. Medical billing plays a big role in that.
Yep.
And I'm saying, what about the patients that are missing teeth? At the end of the day, how many missing teeth are in your practice?
Right.
You know, if you got 1% case acceptance or 2% case acceptance, you know, I mean, if I did a seminar and the title of it was, let me teach you to have 5% case acceptance.
Right.
How many people would come to that seminar?
Right.
I could teach you to have $1 million practice on 5% case acceptance.
Yeah.
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 I mean,
so true.
If you really
so
just
true.
Think about
it's
okay?
It's a lot of no's before you get to the yes,
right,
and that's
so,
okay.
you know, at the end of the day, I mean, how many people did you have to ask out before your lovely wife finally said yes?
Yeah.
Probably a lot. I mean, looking at you,
look
a lot
at
of people.
Guy. Yeah,
a lot
look
of people
at this had, guy. A lot.
You had to ask a lot of people and then said no, right? So, you know, full circle is don't take, when I say stop doing fillings and crowns, it's not about literally stopping to do fillings and crowns in your practice.
Yeah.
Okay. There's an entire thing that goes with this. Okay. Like and I hear, like, I heard a speaker yesterday, an unbelievable respect for him. He was showing how he color codes things and how he has all these templates done. And I just looked at it and I said, I don't want to work that hard, that efficiently.
Yeah.
In fact, I want to be lazy. Okay, I want to chit chat with my patients. I want to have fun.
Right.
I want to grow my team around me.
Yeah.
Okay, because Liz makes more today than she ever made. Okay, Liz has a better practice lifestyle than she's ever had.
Yeah.
I've taken camaraderie. You cannot buy.
Yeah. You want to do cool stuff.
Like
and
I
you
told my
have
hygienist
fun.
Megan, I said so. Last thing, and I want to, and then I promise I'll let you go because I'll just keep talking. Okay. So, what does your hygienist produce per day?
$1,000. Yeah, probably about $1,500, yeah.
Yeah, about $1,000 a day. That's what we shoot for.
All right, so $1,000 a day. Right?
Well, we're doing different schedules, so I'm working longer hours.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's
let's call it average practice, they'd love to get $1,000. These gurus tell you your hygienist can do $2,000. I'm like, where in the hell are you doing this at?
Yeah.
Okay,
right, good luck.
Like, so, but
30 minute profies on everyone.
Yeah. 4,000.
So I don't believe in assisted hygiene. I don't believe in a commission structure for hygienists. I believe in 1 hour appointments for hygiene.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, man, with
good,
it.
So my goal is $1,000 for hygiene. Okay, so I went to Megan and I said, Megan, listen, you know, the day's going to come that I want Liz to do something else because I've already got a business model in mind that I want Liz to work with me on.
Yeah. This is your hygienist.
Liz is my sleep champion.
She's
okay,
sleep.
Okay.
Champion.
My used to be my implant champion and T-bone champion. Now she's sleep champion. Okay. And I went to Megan, my hygienist, and you know, hygienists are generally speaking one of the highest paid or higher paid people in your practice. And I said, Megan, I want you to consider not doing hygiene anymore. Okay, and she looked at me like I was a little bit nuts, but she, you know, she trusts me, and you guys are probably looking at me like I'm a little bit nuts.
No, I don't think
okay, so I said, Megan, what do you produce in a week? So your hygienist does $1,000 a day. Mm-hmm. You're open 4 days a week.
Yep.
So they do $4,000 a week.
Yep.
I said, Megan, so here's your opportunity. You can see 32 patients this week, or you can do 2 sleep appliances.
Hmm.
Which one do you want to do?
And then, and she said,
I'd love to do 2 patients.
Love to do it.
Yeah. I said, Megan, you want to work 3 days a week and get paid for 4 days a week. This is what it would look like. This is the production number I need.
Mm.
Okay. And you're not going to do it by doing more hygiene because I don't want that philosophy in my practice.
Right. We're not trying to just cram patients.
We're not trying to cram people
in,
right? So I said, now you got to start looking at different procedures that you can do and produce that will allow our business to have the production from you without you having to be here so much.
To replace that production.
Like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah, man.
I talked too much.
It's been awesome. Good, thank you so much for being on the show. It's been a good
show.
Yeah,
thanks for having me on, man. It was a lot of fun.
And, you know, we'll get to... we've been challenged a lot on the show, obviously, and we're going to be talking a lot about this, I'm sure, on future shows as far as what this means for us and for our listeners. Give us some feedback. Go check out what...
What does this mean for us, though? I mean, you just said a disruptive comment because...
What's your plan of action?
Right. What is our plan of action?
Yeah, we got to get our mind around that. We're going to have to talk more about this, but I would definitely encourage you guys. You know, obviously, as you've heard from Dr. Agarwal, you know, this is somebody that is worth checking out. I know he's not here pitching this stuff, but we do want you to go check him out and find out how you may be able to benefit in your practice from what he is doing and learn to be a better dentist, maybe to have your practice disrupted like he just disrupted ours.
You know?
So,
and always take it to the next level.
That's right.
So, for...
Yeah, Dr. Agarwal.
Dr. Agarwal.
It's T-Bone.
Yeah, T-Bone. T-Bone.
John and Wes, we are the Dental Guys.